is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
Hey, folks, welcome. It is the MJ Morning Show here on a Friday. Froggy's over there. Roxanne Wilder's over there. Fester's right in front. All present, accounted for. I've got Coop in the producer's booth. Now, folks, normally when presented with something like this, I might have a little pause. Normally, I'd say that I have a little dilemma. You know, should we or shouldn't we? But given the circumstances, well, let me just play it. All right, here we go. And there we have it.
Okay.
Worked in Myakachi.
Myakachi. That was a rough kind of.
I don't think if it was worked in more of a shoehorn into the song.
That was a rough squeeze in Myakachi.
It's all right. It was good,
guys. I mean, listen. They finally said that Brian Laundry is a person of interest in the homicide, the death of, the strangulation of Gabby Petito. Poor Gabby. Let's not forget Gabby Petito in this whole situation. So, listen, do we have any doubt that Brian Laundry was a person of interest? I'm sure it goes well beyond the person of interest. You know, the question is, will we ever really know exactly what happened?
You see, he had a journal with him. He had a notebook with him, yeah. But it was covered in water.
Yeah.
So he might have poured his soul out in this book that's been ruined.
Or,
and then the ink was all watered down. Yeah.
Or the notebook could have just been drawings and sketches of his T-shirt designs. I don't know everything about Brian Laundry, but there were reports that he liked to design T-shirts and that he might have used the notebook for sketches and design ideas for T-shirts. I don't know if he had like an Amazon marketplace.
Wait, you're serious about the T-shirt thing?
Or maybe wasn't he tied to Pinterest? Was there reports that he...
What guy is tied to Pinterest?
Pinterest.
Yeah.
My Pinterest lie elsewhere. Is that it? So, again, good point, though. The backpack, this notebook that was found, the claim, I guess, is that this was probably, and even his remains, under like 2 feet of water. And the water has receded, evaporated, the rainy season ended, and this is a marshy, swampy area here, this reserve, first of all, how many damn names this place have? I've got the Carlton Reserve, the T. Mabry Carlton Jr. Memorial Reserve, right? Is that the full name? Then the Myakachi Creek.
They're separate reserves.
Environmental park, but they're
several miles apart.
When I saw the map, it looks pretty damn connected to me, Fester.
They're right next to each other, but it's a wide open space. They're just separate parks.
All right. So what do you think? Is this something we just play once at 6 a.m. and then it goes away? Or do we... Is that kind of cringy? Or, I mean, the, given that Brian...
Screw that guy.
Yeah, exactly. I can't feel bad for Brian Laundrie. All right, just getting rolling, man. It's a jammed up Friday. We're hitting the ground running. It's the MJ Morning Show, Q105. Early morons in the news. A busy day. Oh, Coop? Oh, we got to hear from Coop in a minute. Coop shot a video in the dumpster at Whole Foods. Hold on. Next, back in a moment, MJ Morning Show, Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is 6:15, rolling up on 6:16. And good old Coop, our producer, found himself loitering in the back of Whole Foods yesterday near the dumpster. And he couldn't actually get into the dumpster, which that might have been one of those cardboard compressor dumpsters, or maybe it was a trash compactor dumpster. I'm not a dumpster expert, but Fester, before you go into your dissertation on dumpsters, Coop, with a phenomenal video that he's put together.
Have you seen it?
Watch the video. How would I know that
it was phenomenal?
I said it was a phenomenal video. Of course I watched it.
Maybe you took his word for it. I don't know.
No, I watched the video last night. It was fantastic. So let me play the audio from yesterday. We did the story about what was the name of the lady on?
Oh, Freegan Dumpster Diver?
Something like that. A lady with a TikTok account, Freegan Dumpster Diver.
Oh, I thought he called her a Friggin Dumpster Diver. No.
I mean, she's also that.
She's a Friggin Dumpster Diver.
Why so mean?
No, we mentioned it yesterday. The name of the lady's account was Freegan.
Freegan, right. Okay, I understand.
Freegan.
Right, Freegan.
With a G. Okay.
Yeah, Freegan.
Freegan has a G, too.
But that's pretty fun. But it's double G. It's double G and it's an I instead of F-R-E-E.
Not a vegan, a Freegan.
Do me a favor. Look up Freegan. Give me the actual... When I think of Freegan, I've heard the term before. It's like... Isn't it like a play on like a vegan? But it's a Freegan. It's someone that's just looking for free crap. It's somebody that, well, dumpster dives looking for free stuff. So see if we can find it. I know I've heard the term before. So this woman... Here's audio quickly of this woman claiming that she dumpster dived at a Whole Foods. And this is why Coop shot the video. I mentioned this story yesterday. Hey, there's this woman that claims that she's got a whole new money-making scheme going on, that she dumpster dived behind Whole Foods, and it's a gold mine. It's an absolute treasure trove gold mine, and she found like $1,000 worth of stuff in the dumpster.
This is everything that I found in one night at one location. There are nearly 100 loaves or packages of bread here, and this is just part one. We also found cases of olive oil, brand new baby food, toilet paper, and so much more.
Now, Coop was not quite as successful as this woman.
That would have been nice to find.
This was just the first pass. It's not going to end here. You know, we'll get into this in much more detail later on the program. I just wanted, for the early listeners, I just wanted to bring up to speed that we talked about this woman who claims that she snagged $1,000 worth of stuff out of a dumpster behind the Whole Foods. So, obviously, what do we do with that information? How do we take the story that we did yesterday to the next level? And of course, that's send Coop the producer to a Whole Foods and make him dumpster dive. Now, this big dumpster, Fester, when you saw that video, I've seen what appears to be like cardboard compactors where they take all the cardboard boxes. And of course, a supermarket like Whole Foods, they just have a ton of cardboard boxes that all of the food product comes in. And I know that I've seen compressors and compactors that smash all the cardboard together.
What you're thinking of is the cardboard baler. They make those big cardboard blocks.
Really?
Is that you make a bale of recycled cardboard.
Yeah, how the hell do you know so much about dumpsters and cardboard balers?
I'm glad you asked.
Well,
when I was back when I was employed for a very brief period of time, and then subsequently fired, from Sam's Club. They had a, you take the cardboard, and if you go to the back of Sam's Club, you can see behind the steel racks that they have this compactor for cardboard only.
Yeah.
And they make big cardboard blocks.
Right.
And they probably, I don't know, sell that to China or recycle it or something.
The big enclosed dumpster at Whole Foods, and you said this was like the Countryside Mall. Where was this?
This was in Clearwater, Countryside Mall.
So Countryside Mall area.
Mm-hmm.
That sticks outside of the building is where the trash goes.
Okay.
So like all the debris, all the rubbish, the bathroom stuff, the produce stuff.
Why couldn't you get into that thing? Now, I realize it's not like a normal dumpster where you just lift up the plastic lid and jump in, or sometimes you get the side loaders where you got to slide that metal door. So why couldn't you not get into the... Now, what Coop ended up doing, Coop ended up in, like, the... Behind Whole Foods, there were also, like, those big plastic residential trash cans that, you know, like the trash truck comes around and uses that little forklift and it picks up your trash can and dumps it into the garbage truck. So the Whole Foods had how many of those were back there?
About like 7 or 8. There's a whole line of them. It was the holy grail of trash.
So some stores, and I don't know if this is, I don't know if this is the case, but some stores don't want you to put things that can rot quickly inside the compactor.
That's right. All right. So the plastic bins must have been for like compostable stuff, like because you found
that makes so much sense.
That makes
a lot of sense.
Another thing too, employees put stuff back there that they want to come back and get later too.
Well, that's been a thing that has happened before, where employees, that's called employee pilfering, and that's happened. I know we've talked about these. We've had morons in the news stories in the past. In fact, there was one story where a woman was working at a clothing store, and that was her racket. That was her scam. She would steal things, take them out back, put them in the dumpster, like in a box, and then come back after hours when the store was closed at night, go to the dumpster, and then grab the stuff that she stole from the store and placed in a box in the dumpster. So that, you're right, that's happened in the past as well.
So I'm doing a good deed. I just stopped employee pilfering.
Nobody's saying that. No, I think that's going down a rabbit hole that we have no proof of.
The biggest surprise to me with all this is that MJ has allowed Coop to come in this room without like disinfecting him or having him stay in a bubble.
Well, this happened like at, what time did you do this? Like 2-3 o'clock yesterday? What time was this?
It was like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, so this is 5 o'clock. Yeah. Clearly you've taken a shower.
Oh, I took a shower with boiling water last night.
He's got scalded skin right now.
Where's the video right now, Coop?
It's on MJMorningShow.com right now.
All right, so Coop shoots a video. Like that was like 3 or 4 minutes long, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How'd you shoot a video of yourself?
Well, you just flip the camera.
This is 2021.
Hey,
you not watch the internet? People hold their phone.
I thought you guys took the video crew with you to do all this.
I'm a one man band.
He shot it all on his on his camera phone, and for the selfie portion, he just pushed that little round arrow button, and it flips the camera.
This was a real presentation, like usual.
Well, you think it's a Fester production?
No, yeah, I thought it was a Fest.
No, this was down and dirty, and then Coop,
excited.
Then he spins it around, and then you have the frontal view where you see him going to the trash cans and what's in it. And is the video posted already?
It's posted.
It is.
All right, if you go to MJMorningShow.com, this is a... We're going to talk about this later on, but this is...
I got a whole array of items for you guys.
All right, so later on during the show, Coop's going to come in here with the presentation of all the things out of the trash cans, but you were not able to get into the big dumpster. This was just from the 7 trash cans out back.
Yeah, I think I need to go to a different Whole Foods location.
Listen, that's a score, Coop. That's a score. You know, and who knows what store she went to. She might have gone to one in more of a city center where you don't have those big compactors because you can't get the truck back there.
That's so true.
You know, different stores have different...
different dumpsters.
Yeah, right.
We have different dumpster scenarios.
Luckily, did you feel a little grifty when you were doing this, or did you feel resourceful?
You know, I felt like if the apocalypse were to ever hit, I would survive because I'd just sort through all the trash.
Yes. He's now a first-class survivalist because he picked through the trash.
Put me on Survivor, you guys.
He picked through the trash at Whole Foods and Countryside, so now he's a survivalist.
Felt like a little raccoon.
All right.
Oh, unbelievable. All right. I can't wait. So we got to pick a time later on. Maybe, well, what time did we do the story yesterday?
About 7:15.
I promoted this.
Yeah, this was your promo.
That's right. All right. So like 7:15 this morning. So in about an hour, a little less than an hour, Coop will come back into the studio and he'll show us all the things that he, now are there more things that were on the video?
Yeah.
Oh, so you have more than what was on your video?
Yeah.
Oh man, I can't wait. All right. Hold on. Morons in the news. Next on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Back in minutes. Don't move.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. And, of course, the certainties in life are death, taxes, and, of course, there's one more Fester and Rocks and Froggy. What is the other certainty in life? It's...
Morons.
Yes.
Hemorrhoids.
Wait, what? Hemorrhoids?
I mean, that's a real certainty with Froggy.
For me.
What are you talking about? Hemorrhoids.
Doesn't everybody get them?
No.
It's not a certainty.
No, it's Morons in the News.
All right.
Early edition of Morons in the News. Oh, hey, we got a text a few minutes ago when it was speaking about Coop doing the dumpster diving behind Whole Foods. And Whole Foods has that dumpster that you can't quite climb into, but they did have 7 of those big residential style trash cans in the back as well. So that's where Cooper, Kyle Cooper, our, who we call Cooper, our producer.
Wait. You can't say my first name.
Why not?
Because then people will find me.
So?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
You think anybody cares?
So, Kyle Cooper is out though.
You're going to get a stalker.
The most generic name ever.
So Coop, he goes into the trash cans behind Whole Foods for his video bit yesterday. And we got a text here from a listener moments ago. Hey, MJ Morning Show, I work for Waste Management, and we have Whole Foods as a national account. They use self-contained packers that can't be accessed from the outside of the building only when we disconnect the container. Sometimes they may use regular 4-yard trash containers, but most of the time they have a lot of bars on them so people can't steal food and miscellaneous items.
Oh, they thought about this.
So the freaking lady with her online video of her grabbing $1,000 worth of stuff out of the Whole Foods dumpster, that's from a different market where apparently the Whole Foods there has a larger, more accessible dumpster that's not the self-contained one that's attached to the building.
Damn.
Right.
Yeah, you can see here the dumpster behind the Whole Foods. There's a little chute.
Yeah, it's got a chute that goes in, and yeah, so the truck comes and they disconnect it, or
this door here hinges. Right.
So how do they get the trash out of that thing?
And then they pull it out, and like a cartridge. They pull out the cartridge of trash, a huge dumpster of trash, put it in the back of a truck, and they put a clean one in.
Oh, there you go. All right. So that's
no fun.
Well, listen, I appreciate it. Listen, we got so many varied people listening to the show in the morning now that I got a dumpster expert from Waste Management that's texting in. And by the way, you can always call us or text us or email us. Before I get into Morons in the News, if ever we're doing a segment on the air and you got something to add, call us. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. You can email all of us. My personal email is mj@mjmorningshow.com. That's mj at MJMorningShow.com. You can write Roxanne, so Roxanne, Fester, or Froggy, all at MJMorningShow.com. And keep in mind, with our 800 line, you can call in, but you can also send a text to 800-990-1047 as well. All right, so early morons in the news. You guys ready?
Yes.
Ready.
Yeah, this is a good pile today. This is this is out of Georgia. I guess it was this Athens, Georgia. Man trying to avoid prison tried to bribe his way out of charges. Now, I wonder if this is Georgia. Where's you know, I meant to look this up last night, but I just didn't get around to it. Where's WAAY TV?
WAAY TV.
I saw Athens, man, so I thought maybe it was Athens, Georgia, but I don't know.
WAAY is the pride of Huntsville.
Okay.
Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay. Aye. So apparently I think it happened there then. Is there an Athens? Is there an Athens, Alabama?
There is.
There's an Athens in every southern state.
Is there an Athens, Greece by any chance?
Nope.
I didn't think so. All right. So Mitchell, listen to this. Mitchell Joseph Caldwell, guy's 43 years old. He's now charged with drug trafficking, bribery of a public servant, parole violation, probation violation for burglary. This guy was hoping to avoid going to jail, or I guess back to jail. He tried to bribe his way out of charges. He was stopped by the county sheriff's office, and they found meth on him. So he tries to bribe the police officer to not arrest him on the meth charge.
Okay.
So according to, you can't bribe a, come on.
I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just processing the information. Okay, it's not the best decision.
What was he offering up in the bribe?
What was the last time somebody got pulled over by the cops and they like hand them the driver's license with like a $100 bill behind it? Come on, does that happen anymore? Do people attempt that crap?
I'm sure it happens all the time. And the cop's like, no. All right, drive safely.
No.
Thanks for stopping.
Hold on. Any cops listening?
They're not going to call in?
They're not going to confess to taking a bribe?
I'm not saying they're confessing. Any police listening right now, where have you ever heard of this or has anybody attempted this? I'm not saying that, oh, they're going to call up and confess. Oh, yeah, I take bribes all the time, not to stroke a ticket. No. If we have police officers listening right now, call in. You can remain completely anonymous. All right, 800-990-1047. If you're a cop or a former cop, or you're affiliated in some fashion, has anyone ever tried to bribe you as a law enforcement officer? Whether it's a speeding violation or whatever. Has anyone tried to bribe you? 800-990-1047. And you can remain completely anonymous. You don't have to tell us your name. You don't have to tell us your agency that you work for. I'm just curious. As we do the story about this dude, this meth head, trying to bribe a cop in Alabama. Hey, don't arrest me. Here's some cash. Hold on. I'm going to get to the rest of the story here in a minute. But I'm curious. Any police officers listening where you've had people try to bribe you? Again, you can
say... With cash or with a phone number?
With whatever.
You can't say cash. You can't use cash. You have to say, I'd like to make a donation to the Police Benevolence Association.
Or maybe a cop pulls over a woman and, you know, she tries to offer up something in exchange. All right?
Officer, I think you find the most pertinent information's on the back. It's green and there's a president on it.
Yeah. Hey, I want you to say hello to my friend...
Roscoe.
George Washington.
That's right. Abraham Lincoln.
Say hello. I think it's got to be at least Grant or Benjamin Franklin, right? Listen, I don't know if we're going to get any calls, but yeah, it's also kind of early. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. If you're a cop, has anyone ever tried to bribe you? All right. Maybe we'll bring it up later on. Coop, let me know if we get any calls on this particular question. All right. Back to the story. So according to the sheriff's office in Alabama, deputies responded to a robbery call. The victim provided a description of the suspect in a vehicle. An Alabama state trooper then spotted the vehicle about 3 miles from the scene. According According to the sheriff's office, 49 grams of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia found during a search of the vehicle.
Okay.
So this guy Caldwell, Mitchell Joseph Caldwell, was taken into custody, and he offered a deputy up to $20,000 to release him from custody.
Well, that's a bribe.
Which, yeah, we're not talking about, hey, say hello to my friend, you know.
This isn't a grease the palm situation.
Say hello to my friend,
Abraham Lincoln?
Benjamin.
George Washington? No, Benjamin Franklin. That would be too much. Now, the joke is it's a low president.
I'd like to introduce you to my friend Thomas Jefferson on the
$2
bill. These are rare now.
Be worth something.
You just can't walk into any bank.
I mean, that's a real bribe. You're offering 20 grand to get out of this thing?
And good for the police officer for turning it down.
Caldwell, the perp, said that he was on the run from a prison sentence for burglary in Madison County and did not wish to return to prison. So here's
how much you think a new deputy in Limestone County, Alabama makes. I looked up the salary.
So it's right. It is Limestone County.
Limestone County, Alabama, new deputy. Did you just get hired? How much you think you make?
32 grand.
Is it hourly?
Hourly.
Wait a minute. It's not a salary?
According to something called the internet, the average Limestone County Sheriff's Office deputy hourly pay is $14.87.
My God, to get shot at? What?
To take $20,000 bribes? Hello?
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm getting paid that. I think the $20K is going to be... it's going to be in my pocket.
Hey, guess
what? Fester, look at the text line. I'm looking over your shoulder. What? Law enforcement officer says he was a DUI unit about 7 years ago. Drunk female offered sex to not arrest her, and she went to jail.
All right, so he texted and he didn't call in.
Yeah. That happens. Listen, enjoy your $14.87 an hour there, partner.
All right. Hey, officer friendly, thanks for just texting. And that's fine. Listen, you can call in or you can text in anytime. 800-990-1047. Yeah, listen, I'm sure that cops have gotten offers from women and maybe a few guys along the way.
In Limestone County, Alabama, you can buy a mansion for $20,000.
I think you're correct. Hey, guess what, guys? Guess where we're going now? Everyone pile in because we're heading to...
The Villages, Florida's friendliest hometown.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how friendly this is. Why? Woman tries to stop sister from driving drunk, gets bitten. My God. Right up the road here, folks, in the Villages, a woman who is too drunk to drive bit her sister during a fight outside a bar in...
The Villages, Florida's friendliest hometown.
Okay, silly question, just to get this right.
Hang on, you like that fart?
I do, that was good.
That sounded like dentures biting.
That was right on the beat. You want to hear it again? Here we go.
The Villages, Florida's friendliest hometown.
Perfect.
It's right on the beat. What were we going to say, Roxanne?
It was the biter was the drunk one, right? It wasn't like the sister who was like, hey, don't go, and bit her.
All right, here's the story. Melody Jean Smalley, 24, had been drinking with friends Saturday night at the World of Beer on Torch Lake Drive in the Brownwood Paddock Square, according to the cops, when she called her two sisters to come get her. When her sisters arrived, Smalley insisted on driving herself home. One of Smalley's sisters tried to stop her by getting into the driver's seat of Smalley's car. So wait a minute. Why did she call her? I mean, calling her sisters or calling for a ride is the intelligent, smart thing to do. So you recognize that you can't drive or you need help. You call your sisters. Then your sisters arrive at the World of Beer because you're blitzed. And then you won't let them drive. And then you insist on driving. What? Hey, sisters, come watch me drive drunk. I mean, what was her motivation here?
I think she got drunker between the phone call and when they arrived.
So
more bad decisions.
The sisters arrive. She then insists on driving herself home. One of Smalley's sisters tried to stop her from getting into the driver's seat, according to police records. Smalley pulled her sister out of the driver's seat by her hair, dragged her to the ground, As they fought each other, the remaining sister tried to break them up. After the fight, the sister who was attacked left in her own car. The remaining sister corralled Smalley, getting her into the backseat of her car. In the car, Smalley continued to argue and fight. And that's when the drug sister bit the sober sister.
That's a risk you take when you try to fight a drunk.
My God.
No wonder why the Village is, they almost need their own, like, TMZ website.
Yeah, they do.
VMZ.
They do. That's where we get these stories from.
Oh, you got this? Oh, okay. You got this from the VMZ. Village's, Mile Zone.
Yeah, VDMZ.
They even have their own television network up there. This is VNN. It's the Village's news network.
They do nothing but...
is VNN.
Swing and just cause havoc over there.
My God. And keep in mind that these women, they're young. I mean, they're not like,
yeah, what's
they're
up?
Not, they're not, this is not like a Village's, you know, 75-year-old, 80-year-old person story. No. The woman, this Smalley, she's 24 years old.
Right, in the Village's, MJ, there's an epidemic of alcoholism. I just went to villagenews.com. You have the story about the drunk sister biting the other sister. Mm-hmm. Top story. Intoxicated man in golf cart arrested in traffic jam in the Village's.
Well, what are you going to do when you retire?
Hey, intoxicated man in golf cart.
Right. I'm not saying the guy's season. Roxanne, I understand what you're saying. Second headline.
Yeah.
Villager's daughter arrested after crashing family Buick into front yard.
Jeez, the Village's is awesome.
Wow, the Village's. What were you saying, Roxanne?
No, just what else are you going to do when you retire?
Let's just get loaded.
Third Village's
get drunk and drive in a drunken state in a golf cart.
Third headline.
Yeah.
After the golf cart, after the Buick, drunk driving suspect arrested in the parking lot of Sam's Club.
The Village'sNews.com, folks. I'm telling you, it's a smoking hot sore. All right, so after they fought each other, then the biting happens. During the argument, Smalley's sister reached back at Smalley before she sunk her teeth into her sister's thumb, piercing her skin, refusing to let go. Man, she latched on and would not let go. According to police statements, the sister managed to push Smalley out of the vehicle, locking herself inside as Smalley continued to punch and kick the car.
My goodness.
When the victim drove off, she called the sister who left, who then called 911. Police responded, arrested the drunk Smalley, and then took her to the Sumter County Jail. She later posted $1,000 bond. My God, you gotta love. There you go.
Five bites right there.
And I'm looking forward to our next story out of the Village's, folks. There we go. Early morons in the news on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. Have you heard about the new alarm clock? Is this real? Fester, you saw this, right?
I believe it's a real product.
Is this real or is this a gag thing?
I think both could be true.
There is a new alarm clock based on an internet streaming sensation. So you got to hear this next. We got to order this. We got to order one and see if this thing is real, if it really shows up. What? We'll tell you next. MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105 at 6:59. MJ and the crew here on a Friday weekend. Weekend right ahead. Anything planned, guys? Rocks, you traveling? You going to hook up with some A-list celebrity this weekend? Where are you headed?
I'm not going anywhere except locally. I think I'm going to that Oktoberfest.
Say it again.
The Oktoberfest. Wait, Tampa Bay's biggest Oktoberfest.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oktoberfest.
At Tampa Bay Downs.
Yeah, fantastic.
We'll do that on Sunday.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, is this alarm clock real or is this alarm clock fake? Now, one of the biggest streaming smashes of the last couple of years. Listen, Netflix had the whole Tiger King thing at the beginning of the pandemic, and the other huge smash recently has been... Of course, this was the wake-up music in Squid Game. You know, they had certain music for the wake-up in Squid Game. Then they had certain music when the game was going to begin. That was another famous classical piece. And now, apparently, there's an alarm clock with that. If you've seen Squid Game, you know what I'm talking about. And this is not a spoiler. If you haven't seen Squid Game, I'm going to do nothing to spoil this. You have the creepy, like plasticky, fiberglass-looking...
Gigantic.
Gigantic girl doll.
Thanks for blowing it.
What?
I haven't seen the show, and now you blew it.
I gave everything away. I didn't give anything away. It's just the giant girl doll as part of the plot early on in Squid Game. And now there is apparently an alarm clock. Now... Fester, is this real?
It has to be a little novelty, right?
It's novelty real. And Froggy's right. I typed in Squid Game alarm clock into the Google.
Into the Google.
And, it's a company, maybe it's a company named Vivio. And, you know, it's on Walmart.com.
I guess this is real. Fester just brought up a whole Google search.
But Walmart doesn't sell it. They do it through a supplier. You know, it's not like you could find it in stores.
So this Amazon has, well, the deal is when you go to the marketplaces, a lot of times, like Walmart will sell a lot of their own stuff. So they'll ship and distribute, they're the seller and the shipper, the fulfillment.
Right.
Or sometimes even through Amazon or Walmart, they'll allow third-party vendors to advertise on the website to sell their products. And obviously Walmart gets, or Amazon, they get a spiff, they get a take.
So if I were to buy this right now off of Walmart.com, it would be $44.99.
So there's a Squid Game alarm clock, and it's the creepy girl from the first game, which was Red Light, Green Light.
All right, now you're giving too much away.
No, I'm not giving now too much. Are, right? No,
I feel like I've seen game. The whole series now. Thanks.
No, I'm not. What
does she shoot them with lasers or something?
Close.
What?
Yeah, good. Stop guessing.
There's a creepy Squid Game girl alarm clock. And apparently, it fires little wooden darts at you to wake you up.
What?
Yes.
Actually, that's pretty awesome. Until they hit you in the eye.
So, is this like in pre-production? Because if you order now from Walmart...
It comes in the middle of next month.
The delivery date, it says, arrives by Wednesday, November 17th.
And none of the pictures are actual pictures of it. I mean, here's a rendering of it, but... It's like Photoshop.
Hasn't been made yet, probably. Hasn't been manufactured. The show just came out.
The Squid Game alarm clock. It on Walmart.com, it's $44.99. How much is it on Amazon? If you go to Amazon,
It's
$42.99 on Amazon. So
no way this is real.
I guess this really exists.
You know what my mom used to do to us wake us up when we were just like bears, like preteens, not wanting to get out of bed?
Throw boiling hot water on you?
Close. Mm-hmm. Water gun.
She used to water gun you? Yeah. That's great. Would she have a super soaker?
Yeah.
Mom,
wake up.
Mom hits you with a super soaker.
My parents used a real gun.
Yeah, it's the giant red light, green light doll. And as you look at the rendering, Fester, the doll, it's the creepy girl, and she's standing straight up. What is the size of this thing? The New York Post has an article on this, which I printed up last night, and the headline was, yes, there's a Squid Game alarm clock that shoots you to wake you up.
I mean, they don't give the dimensions on it, but it must be a foot tall.
That doesn't sound safe.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, I don't know if I want barbs being shot at me.
Well, I gotta believe. I don't know if they're. I don't know if they're gonna hurt you.
Yeah, but I would lose it. I mean, somebody throws a toothpick-sized thing at you in your bed. You're gonna shake your sheets and lose it.
If it pokes you in the eye or something.
Well, that's what I was thinking of, but, you know, come on. It's not going to maim you.
Should be real darts.
Yeah. Real bullets fired from this alarm clock. Now, New York posted a story on this last night that the red light, green light doll, I guess you can get it as low as $38 on Amazon. You can have the alarm clock, the Squid Game alarm clock on your dresser, on your nightstand to wake you up. That's all I know. But you can order it. You can order this thing on Walmart.com or Amazon.com. Yeah, Fester.
Next week, next Sunday, Halloween, the number one searched costume.
Well, we talked about this even before vacation.
We talked that they were available.
Yeah, before we went on vacation, we were out last week, right? This is our first week back, right?
Right.
Yeah. So last week we were out on vacation, but before we went on vacay, we were talking about how the Squid Game costumes were blowing up everywhere. You can dress up in the red jumpsuits with those black masks with the circle, the triangle, or the square, which indicates the hierarchy of, you know, the employee at the Squid Game outfit. So, all right. What was that?
I guess I should watch this show finally.
Dude, you have not watched Squid Game yet? No. What's the matter with you?
I get to a point where everybody's talking about it so much that I'm like, you know, yeah, I'm not interested anymore.
Hey, yeah. Coop, did you get the Alec Baldwin oldie but goodie photo that I took?
I did, and I love this picture.
It is a great
picture. It's really funny.
Now, did we post this before?
We did.
Yeah, because I think we've mentioned this story before, and I think I've put it on the website.
Yeah, we
did. Like almost a year ago.
When his wife got busted for faking her voice.
Oh, that's right.
That's when you put it up.
Yeah, when Alec Baldwin. So obviously, we got to get into the whole Alec Baldwin situation. This thing, what a crazy, crazy story.
Very sad.
All right, I'm going through the various reports, and, you know, Alec Baldwin has been known to have a hair-trigger temper. Remember, and maybe you can dig this up, maybe you can dig up the details. Remember Alec Baldwin was, like, arrested or I think he was sued. Remember he attacked some guy that was trying to hold a parking spot? Or was Alec Baldwin trying to hold the parking? There was some situation, because when we were living in New York for a bit, we had an apartment right at Union Square. So Alec Baldwin lived in a building right around Fifth Avenue and East 10th Street. So right around that area is where Alec Baldwin's apartment is. And right in front of his apartment, and of course, this is all going to culminate in folks, there's Alec Baldwin breaking news. If you've not heard the Alec Baldwin breaking news, he shot somebody. All right, hold on. We'll get to all the details here in a second. What do you find?
I did find that he sued the man who accused him of the parking spot rage. They were fighting over the parking spot, and Alec allegedly punched him.
Yeah, all right. Fester found the story from, when was this? 2018.
Yeah.
Yep.
Alec Baldwin charged with assault in alleged parking dispute. Let's scroll up. Alec Baldwin arrested Friday, charged with assault and harassment after allegedly striking a man in the face during a dispute over a parking spot.
This is small potatoes compared to what's happening now.
Oh, yeah, listen. So, but I'm just saying that Alec Baldwin has been known to have a temper. He's been known to fly off the handle, and now Alec Baldwin has shot somebody. Now, this was not intentional, and I've seen, have you seen the pictures of Alec? He's like crying. I mean, I can imagine.
I feel bad for the guy.
Listen, I love Alec Baldwin as an actor.
Yeah, me too.
I don't like him as a human being. So I think he's... What are you laughing at?
No, it's just saying, I don't like him as a person. No,
I like him like in 30 Rock. I thought he was great in 30 Rock, in a bunch of movies that he's been in. I like Alec Baldwin's acting. I just think that the guy's a total, you know, douche. I'm sorry.
He's amazing in Beetlejuice.
Well, see, I never saw Beetlejuice.
Oh, you missed it.
Yeah, you know, I've seen bits and pieces, but that movie never interested
You've
me.
You've never seen Beetlejuice?
Just don't say his name three times.
Here's the deal. This is the breaking news, folks. Alec Baldwin unintentionally shot somebody with a movie gun. They're shooting a scene out in New Mexico, and Alec Baldwin had to fire the gun in the scene. And real shrapnel or some type of projectile came out of the gun, and two people were shot on the set of this movie.
gosh, like Brandon, what's his name? Brandon Lee on The Crow?
Well, guess what? Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son, he died back on the movie set of The Crow.
Yeah, that's what I thought of.
That was like back in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
And he died while they're filming the movie, and he was hit in the...
It's almost the same thing.
Very similar. I mean, you'd think that should never have happened. Brandon Lee should not have died, obviously. But then here we are, what, 20-plus years later?
And 25 years later.
We have another situation on the movie set. All right, let me give you the details. Santa Fe, New Mexico Sheriff's Department has confirmed that Alec Baldwin discharged a prop gun that killed a crew member and injured another. Now, he's working on what looks like, I think it's a Western, and it's called Rust, R-U-S-T.
I have to stop right there. How would a prop gun kill anyone? How would it have anything in it that would be able to kill someone?
Because they use blanks. And
it's just a mishap.
And somehow the blank was able to fire something, or maybe something was in the barrel. But you know what's bizarre is these movie companies, they employ like fake firearms experts to monitor and be on the set. So it's my understanding that when these Hollywood movies are shot and you have the need for real looking guns, that there are experts that are supposed to monitor every single aspect of the gun usage and handling and the safety aspects. So how the hell did this happen? I mean, this is crazy. So the director of photography, Halenya Hutchins, she died after she was transported to a hospital in Albuquerque. Here's the full statement from the Santa Fe, New Mexico Sheriff's Department. Santa Fe County Sheriff's deputies were dispatched to the Bonanza Creek Ranch movie set of the Western Rust when a 911 caller reported a shooting on the set. The sheriff's office continues that two individuals were shot. Halenya Hutchins, 42, she was the director of photography, and Joel Sousa, 48, the director, were shot when a prop firearm discharged by Alec Baldwin, who is 68 years old, and I think he's one of the producers of the movie, and he's acting in the movie.
So people got shot?
Yeah, he's the big star. Yeah. He's Rust.
Yeah.
The movie's named Rust. He's the star of the movie.
So two people were hit with this prop gun.
Holy cow.
So Ms. Hutchins was transported via helicopter to the University of New Mexico Hospital, and she died. My God, I feel awful here. Mr. Sousa, the director of the movie, was transported by ambulance to another medical center. He was undergoing treatment. I think I heard that he was shot in the collarbone, in the clavicle.
Alec Baldwin shot the director of the movie?
Yes.
This is insane.
And the director of photography, who's deceased.
He should retire from movies. I don't see how you act after this.
I mean, this is just absolute insanity.
Supposedly, the director is out of the hospital.
Yeah, the director is going to survive. Hey, Coop, can you see, is there any audio? Is there any statement? Because I couldn't find anything late last night. I don't know if anything developed overnight. Can you see, Coop, if there's any audio, if there are any eyewitnesses, if anyone spoke to TMZ? Anything. But this is just crazy. So obviously this was unintentional. Or was it? Now, I'm not saying that Alec Baldwin did this intentionally, because there's no way in hell. The guy's a putz. He's a great actor, but personally, the guy's sort of a hair trigger. He's got a temper. He's a hothead.
Are you saying somebody misloaded the gun deliberately?
Listen.
To put Alex together or to hurt somebody?
I'm saying probably not, but how could you rule that out? What if?
It's like the Prestige.
What if it was some kind of intentional movie sabotage?
You never know.
That's going to be part of the investigation. Or was it flat out just an accident? I mean, they're going to investigate, I'm sure, all aspects of this to find out.
They say you need to be 20 feet, a minimum safety distance of 20 feet in front of the muzzle, because even with a blank, you can still get the smoke and the burning embers.
Right.
So maybe it's just like a violation of some of these safety protocols.
So
listening to NPR this morning, driving into work.
Oh, jeez.
They covered Alex Baldwin.
Right. And so hang on a minute. So, what did NPR have to say this morning, Fester?
Well, they said that the...
No, you're too excited.
I'm sorry.
You got to bring it down a little bit.
The director of photography...
No.
Bring it down a little bit.
I actually like your NPR voice.
In fact, you could do Shaq doing NPR.
Hello, Anya Hutchinson.
All right, so what do you hear?
The director of photography who died yesterday, she was a big advocate and was threatening to go on strike in recent social media posts about workplace safety.
Oh, my
God. And safety on the...
Are you kidding?
I'm looking for this right now to confirm it, but I heard it this morning on All Things Considered or whatever the hell the show was this morning. The morning news on NPR.
All right, this is getting fishy.
Oh, my God. So if she was like an advocate and she was going to like be trouble for the movie industry and then she ends up getting shot with a prop gun by Alec Baldwin?
Oops.
Oh, my God.
Maybe it's just horrifically ironic.
Can you do me a favor, Rox? Can you look up Brandon Lee? Can you just give me the quick synopsis of when Brandon Lee was shot on the movie set of The Crow and he died? Give me the description of exactly what happened and exactly his cause of death.
It was 1993. I'll get to the rest of the details momentarily.
Yeah, Fester.
No, I was going to say it was the early 90s because I heard that as well on NPR this morning.
Wow. So the investigation is open. It's active, obviously. No charges have been filed in regard to the incident. I can't imagine that Alec Baldwin would be charged, but maybe...
He might be.
No. I'm thinking that if anyone could be charged, it would be the prop master or the gun expert or whoever was handling the guns to be used for the movie.
Or it could be a genuine accident. I think what happened with Brandon Lee was there was a cartridge stuck in the barrel, and then they fired the second fake bullet and something projected.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I did.
All right, read it. What happened to Brandon Lee?
Okay, so in the film shot preceding the fatal scene, the prop gun, which is a real revolver, was loaded with improperly made dummy rounds, cartridges from which the special effects crew had removed the powder charges. So in close-ups, the revolver would show normal-looking ammunitions. However, the crew neglected to remove the primers from the cartridges. So at some point before the fatal event, one of the rounds had been fired. He comes in for that scene, and that's what happened.
Anyway, New Mexico CSI went to the scene. According to the Deadline Hollywood website, they reported that the criminal investigators were called to the scene with sources informing Deadline Hollywood that a principal cast member cocked the gun. So that principal cast member being, of course, Alec freaking Baldwin. And Fessy, you've seen the images. You just had one of the pictures up. There were pictures from the set. So pictures have leaked. There are photos of like Alec Baldwin on the phone, and it looks like the guy's in tears.
Of course, he just killed someone.
Oh, I know. Listen, obviously, Alec Baldwin's kind of a sociopath, but clearly, you know, he is distraught and he's upset. And this guy is rattled and shaken. I wonder if the movie gets canceled. I wonder if they continue on with this picture. I'm sure there's like millions and millions invested in this thing.
Only rom-coms for now on, Alec.
The union.
Yeah, no guns.
Please.
The union that represents the crew. The IATSE, I've never heard of this union.
Right.
But they represent all the sound guys and all the support besides the actors. She's an active member in that union, and they were threatening to go on strike about work conditions. Lack of sleep or rest or call times, and part of it was workplace safety also. And she put a Facebook post up on October 19th about how she stands in solidarity with her union for better working conditions for the crew. Mm. And this happens to her three days later.
This is bizarre, man. So obviously a lot of news is still yet to come on what exactly happened with Alec Baldwin shooting two people and killing one on the set of his new movie being shot in New Mexico. And then we put the image of my run-in with Alec Baldwin. If you haven't seen this, back in 2016, I was walking on Fifth Avenue right around... East 10th Street. Actually, I was probably on the west side, so I was probably right at West 10th, and across street is East 10th. And Alec lives in the neighborhood, and I see Alec Baldwin walking toward me. They've got like a handler, kind of, you know, a security guy with him, and then Hilaria with her fake Spanish accent. She's pushing a baby carriage, and you can see she's even pregnant. So one of the babies was in her belly. She's pushing the baby carriage. You've got Alec Baldwin, and then you've got the security guy, and they're walking toward me. And I said, that's Alec Baldwin. So I took out my camera phone. I snapped the photo, and they started yelling at me. Hey, don't take a picture. So Alec Baldwin's yelling at me. They're holding their hands up, trying to block my camera shot. Anyway, I took the picture. You can see they're trying to block me, and you can see Alec Baldwin. He's giving me the stink eye. Seriously, zoom in and look at Alec Baldwin giving me the total stink eye. So, Coop, do you have the image up? Is it up at MJMorningShow.com?
Yep, it's on the main page.
All right, take a look at Alec Baldwin giving me, MJ, the stink eye. MJMorningShow.com, that's MJMorningShow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, when we get back, what do you do if you win the lottery? All right, clearly, this is the first thing you do when you win the lottery. You got to hear this next. There's a lot more, too, coming up. Big, long segment next. MJ Morning Show, Q105, back in a minute.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is rolling up on 7:30. Morning, everybody. Weekend is within our sights. Hopefully, you got a decent weekend planned. All right, loaded show today, obviously. We will get in depth in the Brian Laundry situation in the next segment. So, right around 7:58, Brian Laundry. But I do want to play the Brian Laundry song here. And again, normally I might have a little bit of a situation on my hands, you know, too soon. You know what? That's not really tasteful. But why do I have to worry about taste when talking about Brian Laundry when he most likely strangled and killed poor little Gabby?
I don't know that we need to be too conscious of his feelings right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And, well, I kind of collaborated with Magic Mark, our parody guy. I was out walking the dogs, and, of course, the news had broken at 5:45 last night. You know, the Denver FBI, they put out a statement that the remains that were found in the swamp were confirmed to be Brian Laundry's. And, well, it just kind of hit me, and we kind of slapped some lyrics together, and, well, here it is. And you try to sing Myakkahatchee.
I would have gone in the Myakkahatchee.
I think there's an extra Myakkahatchee syllable in there.
Myakkahatchee.
I don't know. I can't do parodies.
And then I was debating, should we do the, you know, where they go,
Giga Winter up, Giga Winter down, Giga Winter up.
You're going to choke.
You know? Ouch. That hurt me.
That kind of hurt me.
For what it was, I thought it was very good.
You can't do that.
All right, so we'll get into the whole, everything we know, we'll get into that probably next segment here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. All right, a lot to cover here. All right, first of all, oh, wait a minute. I got Koopa's answering calls. I don't know, complaints?
Oh, no.
How can you complain?
Hang on a minute. Are you answering? Coop, get on the mic.
Are we getting complaint calls, Coop?
Hold on a minute.
Yeah, she didn't give me her name, but yeah, she had some strong words on the song.
What'd she say?
She's like, is this a joke? And I said, yeah, it's, you know.
Why do we have to have concern? And why do we have to be tasteful when it comes to Brian Laundry?
I don't know. She hung up on me.
Was it his mom?
You know what? Maybe we ought to take calls later on. Is our little parrot, is that
okay? He's a murderer.
Yeah, that's the point.
What the hell?
That's why I didn't have to think very hard about doing a Brian Laundry
thing. You're
going to
be offended by an El Chapo song?
Yeah, wait, how do you get... Yeah, you're going to be offended by a nasty Hitler song?
I mean, come on. Really?
Oh. I mean, come on. So maybe we take calls in the next segment about our, you know, Brian Laundry thing. I mean, he's responsible most likely for the death of Gabby.
All right, I can only think of El Chapo songs now. Thank you, Foggy, for putting that in my head.
All right, well, next segment could be very, very interesting. Maybe we ought to take a poll. Do you like the song or don't like the song? Is it okay or is it like totally, completely out of line, distasteful?
Maybe people are offended because Gabby died.
No, no, we're busting on Brian Laundrie.
That's what I'm trying to give you the opportunity to say.
Yeah, of course. I already said that three times.
Let Roxanne give you the opportunity to say it again.
All right. Let me say it for the fifth time. All right.
Not without Roxanne giving you an opportunity.
Go ahead.
All right. All right. We got to move on here. So you win the lottery. Now, we're not talking about a massive lottery win. And Coop, stand by. You're going to be bringing your trash into the studio in just a matter of moments. Ladies and gentlemen, it is payday in minutes after Coop went dumpster diving behind the Whole Foods in Countryside. All right, hold on. Next, right after you talk about the lottery. So, guy wins the lottery. All right, it wasn't like $290 million with Powerball or $700 million. This dude here in Florida, this is out of Leesburg, and this dude wins a $1 million Florida lottery prize. I mean, not bad.
That's a pretty good score.
Hey, listen.
Would he take home like $700?
$795.
$800, yeah.
That's before taxes. So with all these lottery deals, like you get $1 million. And this, I saw this another lady, another woman hit the Gold Rush scratcher. Did you see that, Fester?
Somebody won that. Somebody won $1,000 for life in the Bay Area. A lot of winners.
What are you?
Yeah, find the lady that won the Gold Rush. A lady just scored $1 million. I saw that story this morning. I didn't print it out, though.
It's almost like everybody's winning except Fester.
Exactly. So here's the story. Guy wins $1 million. Brian Nelson, 26. Young guy, 26. Not bad, 26 to, you know, win $1 million.
He'll blow it.
You can't, you don't know that. I mean, it sounds like the guy's pretty damn frugal, actually, when you hear the details here. So Brian Nelson, 26 years old of Leesburg, he's going to upgrade his toothbrush to an electric toothbrush.
You know, I saw this headline, and I knew you would be all over this, because that's your thing, right? Like, you're so proud of your teeth and your toothbrush, your electric toothbrush.
It's actually his best feature, his
teeth. Well, I've been using a Sonicare.
See?
I've been using a Sonicare since 1990. Well, I think mid to late 90s. I've been through maybe, I don't know, 10 Sonicares. And I think they do a fantastic job. So I don't know why anyone would be using, seriously, I don't know why anyone would be using a standard old-fashioned toothbrush anymore.
What a brush diva.
What?
I use old-fashioned toothbrush. I use it for 2 weeks and the bristles are all bent.
You're calling me a brush snob?
You're a toothbrush diva.
I'm a toothbrush diva.
You're a TBD.
You are.
TBD. I'm a what? A toothbrush diva.
You look at my wife. It's some expensive toothbrush that does the same thing, and a water pick and all this other crap.
Next time you see TBD, it's not to be determined. It is toothbrush diva.
That's what MJ is, right?
I can't understand, seriously, why anybody wouldn't be using a Sonicare or what is the other one? Like the Oral-B electric, or there are a lot of good electric. What's the, you got Quip, you know, you have to Quip electric. I don't understand why anybody wouldn't be using an electric toothbrush these days. I mean, it's just much clearer. It's much better.
What a judger.
Guess what? I'll be a dental judger over here. Fine. So this guy, Brian Nelson, 26, he says, he's asked about him winning, you know, $1 million in the Florida lottery. And he's like, I'm just looking forward to upgrading to an electric toothbrush and splurging on a good pair of flip-flops. That's what he told lottery officials on Tuesday when he claimed his money, and they put this out in a press release.
You know, both of those things are two of the best investments I've ever made. A really good pair of flip-flops. And you know how important those are, Frog. Just a good pair of flip-flops and an Oral-B.
Oh, by the way, speaking of flip-flops, now, Roxanne, you have sort of a connection to the meat market in Hyde Park, right? Steve and Elizabeth Holland from the Holland Group, they were kicked out of the meat market.
They're strict
What is your connection to the meat market?
Money.
Okay.
Money. She trolls the bar in the evenings when Doug's out of town.
This is the meat market in Hyde Park, and Are you an investor, or are you and Dig Dug, your fiance, an investor?
Am I allowed to say it on air?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean allowed to say? You say
because
anything
I thought
on the
it
show.
Was. I didn't know if I could talk about it since I have a personal investment. Yes.
No. You're disclosing. You have. It's just like I've disclosed over and over again that I've been an investor in PDQ for years.
Yeah. Just like Froggy and I are both investors of Tube Socks on a Roll.
Exactly. So you're
in the El Grande one stop.
So Steve Elizabeth Holland, so he goes there and he's wearing like $250 like designer leather sandals. I mean, like nice, like I don't know whether they were Prada or, but he's wearing nice footwear, and he had a reservation, and they wouldn't let him in.
Right?
You have no socks on, sir.
They wouldn't. What's going on there?
I know. They're pretty tight on the dress code. I mean, embarrassing. I had a friend of mine, a dear friend, who was going there wearing like a Versace like tracksuit kind of thing. And they didn't let him in.
Why don't you tell Doug to lighten up the rules around that?
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta say, I don't know if I'm opposed to letting guys with $250 leather sandals not eat at my place.
Right, so wait a minute.
Was he wearing black socks with them?
No, he was not. So hold on a minute. Seriously. Somebody want to tell the meat market in Hyde Park in Tampa this is not like South Beach?
You know, they had a meat market in South Beach.
Okay.
South Beach.
Palm Beach. A meat market.
I just thought that was a little... How did I even get into that offshoot?
This guy buying a nice
flip flops.
The guy. Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. Because the guy wins the lottery. He wants a nice pair of flip flops, and he wants to get an electric toothbrush. All right. So this guy, wrapping this up, we'll get to Coop now. This guy Nelson bought a $20 Gold Rush Limited scratch off at a Quick Mart in Leesburg, and he scratched. He's all scratching over here like he's got some kind of pinworm issue. And bam, $1 million. He took the lump sum payment of $795,000. And then he still has to pay federal taxes on top of that because instead of taking the $1 million, that's over the annuity period. Right. So
this guy's set for life because in Leesburg, if you have nice flip-flops and clean teeth, you could be like the mayor of that town. That's like all it takes.
Exactly.
It's like a Spicoli won the lotto. She's like, I want some flip-flops, dude.
Coop, come on down, man. This is great. Hey, Froggy, you're going to need to move over with Fester to Fester's mic.
Yay! Come
here, Pookie.
What are we getting our new studio? When the hell are we getting...
We have a good one designed.
When are we getting... We need more microphones. We don't have enough microphones in here. Not to mention, we can barely see each other in here. Has anyone heard anything about the... You know, they were all excited about all of our new studios that are getting built, and then I haven't heard a damn word about it.
All I know is Fester and Froggy look so cute right now.
This is how we hold each other.
Look behind us right now. Where exactly is my hand?
Hey, I can't see because I got monitors blocking. But Froggy, are you sitting in Fester's lap like a ventriloquist dummy?
I'm his little dummy.
Hey, do me a favor. Take your hand and put it behind Froggy's neck like it's a string.
It's behind Froggy, all right.
Hey, is the video rolling?
Yep, it's rolling. Right, yeah.
Hold on a sec. Make Froggy talk like a ventriloquist. Look at this. You gotta take your hand and you gotta
go back in the camera.
Stick your hand behind his neck and pull the string and make his mouth.
Hello, I'm Froggy. Welcome to the MJ Morning Show. Hey, how are you doing over there? Hey, everybody.
No, you're moving, Fester. You're moving your lips.
I'm a ventriloquist.
I know, but you don't.
I'm trying.
The ventriloquist doesn't move their lips.
I'm not a professional ventriloquist.
Well, attempt to talk without moving your lips.
I'm trying.
There you go.
There you go.
You have to grit your teeth a little bit.
All right, so Coop, let's go. This is great. So yesterday, I did a story on the program yesterday, and the headline was, I went dumpster diving at my local Whole Foods and found $1,000 worth of fresh baked goods and produce and other items. This is audio from the video of this TikToker by the name of Dumpster Diving Freegan. Listen.
This is everything that I found in one night at one location. There are nearly 100 loaves or packages of bread here, and this is just part one. We also found cases of olive oil, brand new baby food, toilet paper, and so much more.
All right, so obviously you get a story like this. I got to send one of the cast members of the MJ Morning Show to a Whole Foods locally and start dumpster diving to see what we can score there. And Coop, I didn't tell you where to go. I just said go to Whole Foods, and I want you to dumpster dive and see what you can find. And, of course, Coop is our producer here on the show. Coop, tell us what happened.
So I show up to the Whole Foods in Clearwater, And at first, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go inside to see what kind of merchandise they have, because I don't really shop at Whole Foods that often.
Because?
It's a little pricey. I'm, you know.
Well,
I go to Winn-Dixie. You have my Winn-Dixie card.
How about Aldi?
I got the buy one, get one. Oh, Aldi, it's not near my house, so Winn-Dixie is.
How about Jerry Scratch and Dent in Temple Terrace?
Hey, you know what? I might have to do that next week.
Yeah.
His funds are a little low. But that's anyway.
By Jerry Scratch and Dent. Man, I'll tell you, like a 99-cent can of corn, it's got a little dent in it, it's 12 cents. Jerry Scratch and Dent.
Okay,
yeah.
So,
all right, go ahead.
So I'm walking around Whole Foods trying to get an idea of what I might see in the dumpster.
You know that Whole Foods earned the nickname of Whole
Foods?
No! Ooh.
He doesn't know.
Whole Foods, for years, people have called it Whole Paycheck. You're going to blow your whole paycheck in Whole Foods. Why do you think Jeff Bezos bought the place, you know?
Okay, that makes sense.
All right, go ahead.
So I finished walking around, and I'm like, all right, let's go see where the dumpster is. And this Whole Foods is connected to a mall. It's a Countryside Mall Whole Foods. So I end up finding the trash compactor Whole Foods, but you can't access it from the outside.
Right. And by the way, we talked about this early this morning, like in the 6 o'clock hour. Folks, if you're not hearing the whole show every day, man, can you imagine what you're missing? So we go on the air at 6 a.m., listen to the whole show. And if you can't hear the whole show live, remember by what, 11 a.m.?
Yeah, 11 o'clock.
The whole podcast is up at mjmorningshow.com, or we're on all the major platforms. Just search for MJ Morning Show on Q105. Now, if you just search MJ Morning Show, you might get the old podcast that we did prior to coming back on the radio. So make sure you search for MJ Morning Show on Q105, and the show is all compacted into a whole daily podcast by 11 a.m. every single day. But early this morning, we talked about you had an issue at Whole Foods because they had one of those trash compactors or dumpsters that is connected to the building, and there's like a chute. So you're not able to climb in like a normal dumpster. And I had a person text us this morning at 800-990-1047. And again, you can call us anytime or you can text us anytime. 800-990-1047. And we got a text this morning. Hey, MJ, I work for Waste Management and we have Whole Foods as a national account. They use self-contained packers that can't be accessed from the outside of the building only when we disconnect the container. Sometimes they may use regular 4-yard trash containers, but most of the time they have a lot of bars on them so people can't steal food and miscellaneous items. So that's apparently what they have. They have this connected dumpster. But they did have like 7 of those big plastic trash cans we have at home that the trash trucks come and lift up and put in. So that's where you went diving.
Before I went there, I noticed these employees on break in the back. So there's a cage and then they're inside the dumpster and they're, looking at their phones and they're kind of looking at me funny. But what I've learned from Fester, best scam artist on the show, is that if you look like you know what you're doing,
right,
they don't, they're not as threatened.
That's like you belong.
Yeah, that's exactly.
The Fester axiom is you just go in like you own the place, like you're like you got a clipboard, you know exactly what you're doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then I eventually find the row of like 7 or 8 like garbage bins
right behind the Whole Foods at Countryside.
Yep. I hit the jackpot. So here's my bag of goodies that
I
found.
Okay, so here we go. And by the way, we're videoing this. We'll turn this into a video segment later this afternoon on mjmorningshow.com, so you'll be able to watch us all in the studio on this segment live. We put up numerous clips a day on MJTV on mjmorningshow.com.
So first I thought this was a bust because I look in the first bin and I'm like, okay, all I can find are things like rotten lettuce.
Oh!
You know what? Listen, if you give it a smell, it's bad.
He's holding up lettuce. All right, next.
And then I got this ear of corn. But I don't know. I don't think it's bad.
No, that looks pretty good.
It looks fresh.
Hey, let me husk
it.
Let me shuck this.
Those are just kind of wilted greens on that.
Corn, sometimes the silks on the corn browns prematurely.
Look at you with your
silks. Oh my God, that's fresh.
Holy shucks. This is shucking great.
Shut the shuck up.
This corn is not shucked up.
This
corn is fine.
The silks.
Look at this corn.
The silks on it, the little strings on the corn, it's turning brown.
No, so there's nothing wrong. All right, what else?
All right, so then I find this like half-eaten orange.
Okay, that's not half-eaten.
No, that's
what is that?
Juice bar, probably.
Yeah, they make fresh orange juice out of it.
So you've got the orange rinds or from the obviously
you
using
could
the juicers.
Use that for some, make some orange zest if it calls for it in the recipe.
I guess it was produce day. I don't know if it was a papaya or a mango. What is this? Is it a papaya or a mango?
It's a mango.
Anybody want to bite? I mean, it's kind of rotten, but.
What else?
All right, so then we get to the good stuff.
Here we go.
A lot of fruit. So, and then I find these bananas.
There's nothing wrong with these bananas. Oh, my goodness. There's nothing wrong with these. I'm making banana ice cream this weekend. Good. Look at this.
Incorporate dumpster bananas.
And then a couple of avocados. This one's a little mushy.
Oh, I'll take it.
Yeah, here you go.
Look at that.
That's perfect.
Make some guac later.
Hey, guys, it's not avocados from Mexico. It's avocados from the trash can behind Whole Foods in Countryside.
That's a little wordy.
Avocados from Countryside.
Avocados from Dumpster.
Dumpster guy. Okay.
All right, and then I find these grapes, which also look good, and I...
He's eating the grapes.
It's not bad. Here, Fester, you want to
Festival
eating.
I'll try it, Greg. Froggy's getting nauseous. You got a minute.
My last item, and I was like, okay, this was worth it. An unopened bag of Parmesan crisps.
Oh, what a score!
A total score.
Is there a Best Buy date on there?
Is it expired?
Why would they throw that away? It's an unopened bag of Parmesan. Maybe somebody returned it and they didn't put it back on the shelf.
If people return food, they can't
resell it.
Best if used by May 21st, 2022.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. I'll even open it.
Open it up.
Yeah.
Open it up.
We can all have some Parmesan crisps.
We can dip them in the avocado.
How are they? Fester, go on, try them.
I never had these before. A little cracker.
All this food is from the garbage cans behind Whole Foods at Countryside Mall.
Guys, this is great. I might have to do this instead of grocery shopping.
I got food
for the week now.
Look, okay, some of the stuff obviously is turning or in the process of turning, but a lot of it's very usable.
Is that it?
That's it.
We got to do this again. We got to hit different Whole Foods. We got to hit different ones around the area.
The awesome video is up right now at MJMorningShow.com.
All right, so Coop shot a video at Whole Foods Countryside. The video is up, and then we'll also put this segment up by what time will the video be up of this on air?
At noon, 11 or noon.
Okay.
At the latest.
All on the way, MJ Morning Show, MJMorningShow.com, MJMorningShow.com. All right, when we get back, we got to get into the Brian Laundry thing. Do you think that our Brian Laundry song is insensitive? I don't think it is. So the whole Brian, we're loaded, folks. We got a lot to get to. We're back in minutes on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105, 7:59, rolling up on 8 o'clock here. Oh, boop, it's 8 o'clock. All right, let's get into the Brian Laundry situation. You know what? Let me do the money machine first. This will be just easy. Let me give you the MJ Money Machine word, because it is exactly 8 o'clock right now. So this hour's word is call, C-A-L-L. This, as I'm going to have people call in a moment here. This hour's word is call, C-A-L-L. You got until 8:15, quarter after, to text it to our nationwide text line at 45911 or enter it on our app or at myq105.com. You can win $500 with the MJ Money Machine on Q105. So this morning, right out of the chute, at 6 a.m. this morning, I posed this little dilemma. So, had an idea. I got with Magic Mark, our parody guy. I'm walking the dogs last night. Actually, it was a very fruitful walk last night. Because I also, Fessy, did you see the picture of the dogs and the Halloween decorations?
I did not.
That's not what you stumbled upon.
You saw, because I see, Roxanne, you liked the photo.
I did.
You were one of the many that liked the photo I took last night. So I'm walking the dogs right after I finished the Schnitt show yesterday. It was a little after 6 p.m. last night. And I take the dogs for like a two-mile walk every single night religiously. In fact, the dogs are so damn cute that if my office door is open at home where I broadcast the Schnitt show from, the dogs, they know they've got a circadian rhythm going on. The dogs literally, in the last 15 minutes of the show, they will come in and they'll come next to my chair and jump up on my thigh with their front paws, almost like, hey, daddy, it's time to go on our walk. They know.
They have a routine.
And then I noticed that there was a little doggy wristwatch on their paw, on their doggy arm.
You got to get them Apple Watches. Yep.
All right, I just pulled up the picture.
All right, so Fester's now looking at the picture.
This is probably a lot like how the scene looked.
All right.
Like this.
This is really, really, really close.
Froggy, did you see the...
Yeah, I saw the picture. You know right. I'm a fan of your Instagram.
All right, so obviously the news broke, and in fact, this broke... I'll give you the exact time. The timestamp on this is 5:39 p.m. yesterday. 5:39 p.m. Eastern time, our time, the FBI Denver field office put out a tweet that said, hashtag update. On October 21, 2021, a comparison of dental records confirmed that the human remains found at the T. Mabry Carlton Jr. Memorial Reserve and Myakahatchee Creek Environmental Park are those of Brian Laundrie. And then it's at FBI Tampa is also tagged in this thing. So that was the FBI Denver and their tweet that they put out 5:39 p.m. yesterday. This is like, 20 minutes before I finished the Schnitt show and before I'm walking the dogs. So as I'm walking the dogs, the whole neighborhood is obviously decorated with Halloween decorations, varying decorations. And as I'm on one of the streets in my neighborhood, have you seen like the yard skeleton, like where the skeleton bones are like flat out on the grass?
It's actually the laziest Halloween decoration you could possibly do.
It's like, but it's three dimensional. It's not like paper or cardboard. I mean, these are actual
real bones.
They're not real bones, but they're yes.
They broke into their chiropractor's office and stole the skeleton out of the corner. Yeah.
So I see a neighbor and he's got the bones lying there. And I'm like, listen, I got a little twisted, morbid mind. So. The dogs walk over to the skeleton. They were curious. I whipped out my camera. I took a picture. And, Fester, what was my caption?
You want to read
my caption?
Breaking news. Scout and Gatsby just found the real Brian Laundrie in a yard in South Tampa.
I couldn't help myself. Listen, I don't need to have any reverence for Brian Laundrie. Brian Laundrie killed Gabby Petito. I mean, how is there any other explanation?
Now you have two canine cadaver dogs.
Right. Gabby Petito, she was strangled. It was a homicide. He then flees. Then he's on the run. Of course. And of course, now the FBI did finally name Brian Laundrie a person of interest in the death of Gabby Petito. So I don't need to be tasteful with Brian Laundrie. So I took the picture. It's on my Instagram. Again, folks, you never know what's going to pop up on my Instagram. Give me a follow. My real name, Certified Todd Schnitt. So on Instagram, give me a follow and scroll through, man. I got all kinds of stuff. We shoot videos in the kitchen of us cooking. There's all kinds of travel, vacation stuff up there. I want to believe that my Instagram feed is somewhat interesting. So give me a follow at Certified. So the word Certified, then my real name, Todd, S-C-H-N, as in November, I-T-T. Certified Todd Schnitt.
With Brian being found in the Myakahatchee Swamp. I can't help but to think how wrong Dog the Bounty Hunter was in all of this.
Well, listen, we're going to call Dog here in a second.
Of course we are.
Wait, did you see the statement from Dog the Bounty Hunter?
What did he say?
Hold on. Listen, we got a lot to cover in this segment. We're going to get to this in a second. I want to go to phones, though. Because on top of the skeleton and my dogs and, my Jack Russell cadaver dogs and the image I took in my neighborhood... that was posted. We also, during this walk, I said, I got to do it. So I called up Magic Mark, who is our parody song guy. And I said, hey, Mark, we got to knock this thing out. I can't feel bad for Brian Laundrie. I feel bad for Gabby Petito and her friends and family. That's who I feel bad for. So I want you to listen to this, folks. And most people, I think. going to think it's okay. But listen, we're a listener-driven morning show. We want to hear what you think. Is this okay or not okay? Is this all right, or are you offended by this? I mean, it's obvious. I mean, this thing almost wrote itself. I can't feel bad for this guy. This guy took Gabby Petito's life, most likely.
I've heard that song, what, 3 times now this morning?
Yeah.
And now when you listen to the lyrics, he's just reporting the facts.
It is. The lyrics are the facts. The bones were found.
It's essentially a very singy news report.
Yeah.
That's it. I think
that's what I thought.
You know what? I'm going to give that over to Fox 13 and Channel 8 and Channel 10 and Channel 28. They can run it. They can play that in their news reports.
Can't imagine anybody being offended by that.
All right, let's go to phone. Seriously, because I do care about what our listeners think. We have always been an open book here on the MJ Morning Show. We have always taken calls, whether people love what we do or whether people want to criticize what we do. So, what do you think of the little news song on Brian Laundrie? And the guy, our singer guy, kind of sounds like Don Henley, doesn't he?
We may have to do a comparison.
Yeah. All right, 800-990-1047. Listen, I'm just being honest. We're an open book here. Listen, if I make a mistake, I'm going to say, you know what? I made a mistake. If I do something wrong, I'm going to apologize on this show. This show, we do everything. We do a lot of funny stuff. We'll talk about serious stories. We do everything. The history of the MJ Morning Show is just that.
All right.
All right, let's go to phones. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Is the Brian Laundrie song okay? It's not like he's an innocent choir boy here, folks. Most likely, he strangled Gabby Petito. And I don't think we owe him crap. Look at the phones. I don't know which way this is going to go. You know, speaking of phones, as Coop is screening calls right now, I just want to point out on Tuesday's show, remember, speaking of phones, and I'm going to phones right now, but on Tuesday's show, remember we asked the question, will Brian Laundrie be found dead or alive? Remember that?
Yes.
That was Tuesday's show. I saved my tally sheet. We took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We took 9 calls in that segment. 5 said that he was alive. 4 said, nope, he was done. He was dead.
Well, I mean, I can't remember what I said.
I think on Tuesday it was kind of a flip of a coin. Nobody really knew.
Let's go to phones here regarding the Brian Laundrie song. 800-990-1047. And Coop is screening calls right now. Let's go to, right off the bat, we're going to grab, is it Gianna in Lakeland?
Yes.
Hi, Gianna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Gianna, what do you think?
Epic. Absolutely freaking epic. And hopefully your dogs took a leak on the bones when you took the picture.
So, epic. Oh. Wow. Oh,
epic.
So you like our Brian Laundrie song?
Absolutely.
Gianna,
I hope he burns wherever he is.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? We're not going to know what really happened. You know, I don't know if we're going to be able to piece together, you know, what was there? We know that they argued. We know that they had the domestic dispute in Utah and Moab where the cops, I just wish the cops arrested both of them because this whole thing,
it would have been avoided.
They would have been separated and maybe this whole thing would never have happened. She'd be alive. All right. Hey, Gianna, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let me grab Joe in Wesley Chapel. Joe, are you okay with our Brian Laundrie song?
I think it's hysterical.
Listen, I
no, nah, that was good. That was good.
I mean, it's fact driven. It's not like we're taking any creative liberties. I mean, the whole song, the lyrics.
You guys did great with the songs. I have a little problem with the investigation and the way the whole thing went down.
What?
No, I'm a former NYPD police detective.
Wow. All right.
Cool.
Wow, this is, I hear the New York accent, by the way. So, Joe is a former NYPD police detective, obviously retired down here in Florida, maybe. And, Joe, which, yeah. which precinct, what borough?
I was in Brooklyn South. I was in the borough of Brooklyn.
Yep.
Bay Ridge.
Were you in Brooklyn 99?
Brooklyn 99.
No, there's no 99.
Yeah, it's a fake.
Basically, every
All right, so let's talk about the investigation for a second. And, of course, you have some thoughts. Go ahead.
Okay. As soon as he got back, they should have placed surveillance on him immediately.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned this as well, is how did they lose track of him? How were they?
They dropped the ball. Dropped the ball there.
They should have had, and we said this. Listen, you're 100% right. We said this first thing when he disappeared. Why the heck did they not have 24/7 surveillance on him, shadowing him everywhere?
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, listen, thanks for the call, Joe. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show. Let's go with Tracy in Newport Richie. Tracy, you're on the MJ Morning Show. What do you think of the Brian Laundry song?
I love it. I think it's great. And I think he got what he deserved.
Yeah. Again, how did he die? They found bones. And
maybe he ate some bad berries.
You know, they were able to determine it was him through dental records, which is something we also brought up that, you know, when we heard that there were remains found and it was probably Brian Laundrie's because his backpack and the personal effects were found. We also, on top of DNA and that forensic investigation, we thought maybe dental records could be used, and that's what the Denver field office of the FBI reported yesterday. Hey, thank you, Tracy. I appreciate the call. Let me grab Ziggy in Clearwater. Ziggy, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Good morning, and happy Friday.
Yes, Ziggy.
Hey, the song was great. I like the song because it's free speech, but the police department and the FBI, nobody said that he was guilty. All they said, he was a person of interest.
Yeah, so now with the confirmation it was Brian Laundry, they also did announce that he is a person of interest in the death of Gabby Petito. Listen, you're right. So I know you're probably going to hit me with he's innocent until proven guilty, but obviously...
There you go.
Yeah, but obviously there's going to be no trial for Brian Laundry at this point. Hey, thank you. I appreciate the phone call, Ziggy. Let me grab Chelsea in Riverview. Chelsea, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. What do you think of the song?
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Why?
It's hysterical.
Why do you love it?
Honestly, because since day one, since she went missing, I just had this gut feeling that he was involved. Yeah. I know it sounds funky, but it's just, why kill yourself if, you know, you're not guilty or have some form of guilt, you know?
All right, thanks for the call, Chelsea. I really appreciate it. For those that are, like, tuning in midway now, it's only 30 seconds. So what are we talking about? Why am I asking our listeners whether the song is okay or if you find it distasteful or you have a problem with it? This is it. I mean, really, it's like a news report right there. The facts are being reported. Let's grab Desiree in Spring Hill. Desiree, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Is the song okay, yes or no?
Yes, it is great. I love it.
So do you think that it is at all distasteful or no?
I don't think it's distasteful because what he put their family through.
Yeah.
Now he gets to pay that.
You know, and that really was my MO, that I can't feel sorry for Brian Laundry after what happened to Gabby Petito. Denise is in Tampa. Denise, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi, Denise.
Hey, I have a little different thought. I feel like Brian Laundry, yeah, he can rot the song about him, whatever, but I also just feel like another family lost a child that didn't have anything to do with anything. So I have a little bit of compassion in that way. So I feel like maybe I don't love it.
Oh, so wait a minute. So you think we ought to show compassion for the laundry parents, for what, Chris and Roberta?
Not necessarily the parents, because I feel like they were involved. But I feel like there's many other parts of a family, and it's just, you know, cousins, whoever he has in his family. I just feel sorry for when anyone loses someone, especially in that way, who they think is a murderer. Yeah,
as far as the parents, they have a lot of explaining to do, and a lot of people are wondering, will they potentially be charged as an accessory after the fact, or did the laundry parents do anything to cover up, or the sister Cassie? You know, there were discrepancies, and a lot of people are, you know, still scratching their heads and going, yeah, right, how the laundries tell authorities that they're going to go search for Brian, and then what, 30 minutes after they start searching, they find, you know, we found him.
There's no doubt that they were involved in his disappearance or whatever, but I don't know. I just don't feel like
it. All right. Well, Denise, listen, that's why we're taking calls. We're an honest, open show, and some people are going to like what we do, and some people are not. And I
like everything else you do. I like it all.
Well, listen, we're open to criticism, and I appreciate you phoning in, and thanks for listening.
Thanks.
All right, let's grab, how about Carolyn, Land O'Lakes. Carolyn, did we lose? Oh, no, Carolyn's there. Hi, Carolyn, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Okay, so I agree, too. I think that Brian was someone's son. Once upon a time, he was a little boy. So, you know.
Yeah, but you can't go back and say, oh, you know what? He was a cute little boy one day. Well, guess what? He strangled the girlfriend. Actually, fiancé.
Yeah, Ted Bundy was a cute little boy at one point.
So cute. So
cute. I know, but he's someone's son, and I just think that until the whole story is out and about, right, and we know. You know, I just feel that he's still a human being, an evil one, or he took someone's life. I get it.
And that's why, listen, that's why we're taking calls, and I respect every opinion. I might not agree, but listen, I respect every opinion, Carol.
Well, I love you that you guys are back, and thank you.
Hey, I appreciate it. All right, let me grab Harrison. Just a few more, and we got to move on, because I want to call Dog the Bounty Hunter before we got to take a break. What are you laughing at?
I can't wait to call Dog.
I'm going
to
call Dog.
That's what I've been waiting for.
Wait to hear Dog's statement. Harrison's in Valrico. Harrison, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi, Harrison.
Hey, MJ. Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. I love this the song. It is awesome. I actually thought it was Don Henley himself.
Not bad, right?
It's that good. Yeah, Magic Mark has a great stable of singers. He did a great job with it. Thank you, Harrison. One more. Karen in St. Petersburg. Karen, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Good morning. My point is that I'm from Chicago, and I've been in Florida 33 years, but I was there when John Wayne Gacy and Rick Dees did Kids in the Wall. So my point
is... Hold on, did you say Rick Dees?
Yes.
The DJ?
That's right, yes. Disco Duck.
Hold on, well, Rick, wait, I don't think Rick Dees was a serial killer.
No, Rick Dees was not a serial killer.
No, he did the song, but it's a parody like you did.
Rick Dees did a John Wayne Gacy. Okay. Oh, okay, I thought Rick Dees was a serial killer.
No. But one of the parents of the kids that died called him, and he made a public apology.
Gotcha.
I don't have any issue with your song if the parents of Gabby don't.
That's a good point. All right, let me try Dog the Bounty Hunter here quickly. Let me dial him up. And did you hear the statement from Dog the Bounty Hunter?
I didn't even know he released a statement.
Yeah. 833-TELLDO.
You know, he tried to make Fort
Please
DeSoto look
while
bad.
We connect your what was that? To
Dog tried to make Fort DeSoto zero. Look bad.
Yeah. Here's his recording. Oh, jeez.
Hi, this is Dog the Bounty Hunter. Thank you for calling the tip line. Please leave your number, and I will return the call.
Dog, I saw that you called off the search for Brian Laundrie yesterday. Hey, brilliant move.
Good job, Dog.
Sir, brilliant, man. Dude, are you a member of Mensa?
Thanks for taking us on a wild goose chase to Fort DeSoto. Yeah.
So he interrupted his Florida honeymoon with his new wife, Francie Frain, to join the manhunt. Mm. And now he says that he's calling off the search. Okay. Good move. Brilliant. All right, Dog. Hopefully we don't talk to you in a while. All right, goodbye.
Oh, poor dog.
And it's the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. MJ and the crew here, and this video has gone viral. It is getting a shitload of attention. It is the Marine that wasn't taking any crap from anybody, and literally single-handedly, he disarmed a convenience store robber. The video is just classic.
The amazing thing is how calm and cool he remains during the whole thing. He doesn't even flinch. He just goes into action and does his business.
I mean, this is just amazing. So it's a U.S. Marine Corps veteran. This went down in Arizona, in Yuma County, Arizona, where this Marine Corps vet single-handedly disarmed what was identified as a juvenile with a gun trying to knock off the convenience store at a Chevron gas station. So 4:30 in the morning, this was Wednesday, a couple of days ago, Wednesday morning, 4:30, Chevron convenience store. The sheriff's office released the surveillance video from inside, shows three suspects entering the Chevron, and the lead dude is brandishing a gun. He walks right in to the convenience store. You can see like the Häagen-Dazs little ice cream case off to the right over there.
Over here is the lottery scratcher stand.
Looks like some kind of lottery deal. I mean, it's just a typical convenience store. And there's a dude standing there. He's got a trucker's baseball cap on. Looks like it's the mesh back on that thing. He's got his glasses. It's 4:30 in the morning. He's got his glasses up on the visor.
He's probably on his way to work.
Yeah, maybe so. And this guy, I mean, you can tell this dude is physically fit. So you got the two guys that enter the store. The third is lingering just like at the door as they're opening up. And the lead guy walks in and he's pointing a gun. And he thinks that he's going to strong arm this dude in the baseball cap, this ex-Marine, or I guess you're never an ex-Marine, a retired, a Marine
once
veteran.
Once a Marine, yeah. Always a Marine.
Once a Marine, always. Hey, Michelle's dad was a Marine for 25, 27 years. He's buried in Arlington. So the gunman walks in and points the gun, and this guy just, you could see that his eyes lock onto that gun, and yes. He saw the opportunity, and he grabs the gun, twists the guy's arm, and takes him down.
If you follow the muzzle of the gun, it is pointed to the guy, and then it goes off the guy as soon as it's off.
Yes, and that's the point. I was just about to get there. So, Fester, very nimble with your observations. So,
I watch a lot of surveillance, Law and Order, and CSI.
A lot of surveillance videos.
The gun
was pointed at the customer, and as the guy walks a little further in, you can see he moves the gun a little bit more to the left,
just slightly,
and that's when Marine veteran, he saw his opportunity, that he was laser locked on that gun. And the minute the muzzle was like off of him a little bit, he grabs the guy's hand, twists his arm, and like throws him down.
You know what's crazy? The Marine just never even looks startled.
No. I mean, you want to talk about cool, calm, and collected. By the way, the video is up on our website at mjmorningshow.com. You got to see this thing. This is just, it's amazing.
How about the other weenie that ran out like right away?
Right.
It's so, like, oh my God, this guy's for real.
Well, first of all, let me point a couple of things out. Look at this dopey, stupid juvenile criminal. He walks in with his gun. It looks like it's a semi-automatic. It's a black handgun. And he's doing like the gangsta tilt on the gun off to the side a little bit.
Yeah.
That's effective.
You don't tilt a gun sideways with that sideways gangsta looking thing because, I mean, that's, that's a way to have your gun jam or a failure to eject the cartridge. You don't tilt your gun sideways. So these kids were like total boneheads to begin with.
What are you doing? You're getting robbery tips 101 from MJ over here?
Well, no!
don't tell them how to rob a store.
No, stick a lot of best practices.
No, hold your gun upright.
No, that's
hold
not,
the gun with two hands.
Come on, stop busting on me. I'm just saying that these clowns, they have no idea what they're doing.
The guy probably recognized that and was like, in his head, he was probably like, this guy's an amateur.
Do we have a name on the guy?
We don't. All right, let me give you more details on the story. So the sheriff's office released the surveillance video, and we don't know the name of the customer. At least that has not been released. Rox, can you see that since the story came out yesterday, and I saw the story like, I don't know, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock last night. Can you search and see if there's any follow-up or update from Arizona media? Do they have a name on this guy? Because this guy's the best. First of all, unnamed Marine veteran customer at the Chevron at 4:30 in the morning in Yuma County, Arizona. Thanks for your service to this country as a U.S. Marine, and thank you for your service to the Chevron convenience store. I mean, so this guy took the guy to the ground, disarmed him, took the gun, and held this punk on the ground until police arrived and arrested this moron.
Yeah, and Froggy's right. His buddy took off. His buddy couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Oh, man, they scrammed. Deputy said the customer, they identified as a Marine Corps veteran, disarmed the suspect, detained him until law enforcement could arrive. They have not revealed his name. When responding to deputies who asked how he was able to take control of the dangerous situation, he says, quote, "The Marine Corps taught me not to mess around." Is that great?
It could have gone bad.
And the deputies are still looking for the other two suspects that fled after this Marine intervened.
He's still a lucky guy. Let's not get it twisted.
That's, say what?
He's a lucky guy. He's lucky that he was able to knock that thing out. And I mean, it could have gone wrong.
I think I found his name.
Well, because he noticed that the gun was off him for a split second, and he took advantage of that window to be able to grab the gun. I mean, it was almost like instinct. It was like this guy just instinct kicked in.
I have a feeling he's been in a couple situations like that.
This guy probably, Marine Corps veteran, looking at his age, I'm thinking this guy had some tours in Iraq or Afghanistan.
I'm sure.
He did. Yeah. He did.
Oh, hold on. Yep. What did you find?
We have some information here. James Kilser is his name.
James
Kilser, 32 years old.
Is it Kilser or Pilser?
Kill.
K-I-L?
Yeah, K-I-L-C-E-R.
Wow.
I will kill you, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
You're trying to point that gun at me.
Kilser. That's a great name.
I was just getting ready to turn around and go and leave and kind of heard the door swinging open in a little bit of an aggressive fashion. And he said, I kind of had my spidey senses tingling a little bit and it all unfolded from there.
Are you reading a quote?
Yes.
This is a quote?
Yes.
So he's talking about his spidey senses?
Yeah.
That's great.
And he did have a tour in Afghanistan.
Wow, look at that.
One of the most amazing things about this entire video, I mean, there's several amazing things, but one of my favorite is that he doesn't drop what's in his hand. He has like this little convenience store white bag, and he holds it the whole time. Good for him.
He never drops his purchase.
He never dropped his Slim Jim.
Had he already checked out? He had a bag?
He might have been waiting for
it. It looked like he was waiting for somebody to get all their lotto tickets or something.
Yeah, he's waiting for his buddy. Hey, Chet, hurry up. And then this guy comes
No, he was by himself. I don't think his buddy.
Chet wasn't with him.
Yeah, Chet was not.
Well, he had to meet Chet.
He didn't. There's no Chet.
He works with Chet.
There's no Chet. Any more news on this Kilser guy? That's
no,
great.
But that's just his spidey senses. Yeah,
that's absolutely wonderful. Anyway, the video is up. You got to see this. It is tremendous. The video, the clip is up from inside the convenience store. MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com. Now, another thing you're going to want to see a picture of. Hey, Coop, I just had you post an image of the bearded lady.
What?
What do you think?
This is great.
Now, I know that you're kind of...
I'm kind of jealous.
Well, I know you're kind of hard
up. She's got a nice beard.
I know you're kind of hard up for a date and you're having trouble meeting women. I don't know why, because, you know, Coop's a decent-looking guy and he's got a great personality.
Mm.
So maybe we ought to do, like, Coop dial-a-date.
Coop is an average-looking guy with an average personality.
Oh, will you stop it?
I mean, great. I know a lot of guys with great personalities.
I dove in a dumpster for you, Fester.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so, Coop, the question I have is, since you're kind of lonely and you like some female companionship, would you consider the bearded lady or would this be a total turnoff?
I don't know. I'm kind of digging the beard.
Ew, dude. What? This is disgusting.
Now, right. She has like a...
Now, stop. Is there audio on this?
Yeah, I pulled some audio of the bearded lady. And this is like kind of like sarcasm to her haters.
And the video and the image, this is also up at MJMorningShow.com.
Yep, you can see it now.
All right, folks, this woman's got a little mini ZZ Top beard going on.
No, MJ, you're way off
on
this.
What?
Those are pubes. Look at them.
Froggy, calm down.
I'm sorry.
Froggy.
What do you think your beard looks like?
Froggy.
Froggy.
This one, let me play the audio. And do we have a name on her?
It's Hex Peekaboo Pumpkin.
Yes. This is horrifying.
We don't know her real name, but her video, her online social media name is Peekaboo Pumpkin.
All right, I just looked her up. Her name is Harriet.
No, it's not.
Nice one, Fest.
Here's audio from Harriet.
So I'm going to cut my beard off. Are you ready?
I understood the assignment.
There you go.
And just cut a little snip of it off.
Because that's all you deserve.
What does she think? This is sexy?
Did she say that's all you deserve?
Well, people have been messaging her, hey, shave your beard off. You look like Captain Ahab. I mean, you know, people have been very mean to her. Right, now, and she's like, I'm going to get my beard off.
Now, this is a woman. This is a woman that looks feminine. She is she's a feminine looking woman.
She would be kind of attractive if she didn't have a beard.
Except she has a beard that it hangs about 6 inches, maybe 8 inches off of her chin. She's got a beard.
It's so long.
It's like she's a daughter of Duck Dynasty.
But it's not on her chin. It's like under her chin.
Yeah, it is.
What's this area called, Rux?
Your goblet? Gobbler?
Your chin is the hard part at the end of your bottom of your face.
What's, right.
It's gobbler. Like the neck?
She doesn't appear to have the facial hair underneath her bottom lip and onto her chin. It's the underside of her chin or the, you know.
And then sideburns.
If somebody has like a double chin or like a waddle or something, you know.
That area.
The hair is just, it's coming off of the bottom of her chin on the underside where your chin rounds into your neck. But she's got like 8 inches of hair growing. Below like, her chin.
That's her thing.
What's her story? Why?
It's like a sexy disgender Amish thing going on. I don't know.
There has to be a reason. Does anybody know about this? I'm horrified.
I mean, she obviously grows this beard naturally, I would think.
Peekaboo Pumpkin has more than 50,000 followers on social media, claims that men are so enamored with her chin whiskers that she's constantly being asked out on dates.
That's a lie.
She even started her own OnlyFans account to try to cash in on guys that are into female facial hair. Oh, my God.
She has dozens of videos up, MJ.
And she has, Froggy, you were asking why. So the medical why is because she probably has hirsutism. Hirsutism.
Is it probably or she does have it?
Well, hirsutism is the excessive growth of thick hair on areas of the body not commonly seen in women.
So does she have it?
Yeah, she must.
Yeah, she's got to have it. Absolutely.
Dr. Roxanne has spoken.
Yes, she has. She must. She has not. She's 36 years old, 36, and she has not revealed her real name just yet. But, man, there are guys.
Just like Captain Lou Albano, whatever.
Yeah, she needs to tie a little rubber band, like in the Girls Just Want to Have Fun video.
He's a rubber band or
cheek. Yeah, exactly.
It's Captain Lou's granddaughter.
This is like, wow, I caught me off guard when I saw that.
Hey, good for her.
All right, folks, you got to go take a look at this thing. It's up on our website right now, MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com. You got to see this bearded lady. It's unbelievable. MJMorningShow.com. We got a lot of density. There's a lot of stuff on the website today. The Marine disarming the robber at the convenience store. This. Coop, what else? You got your Whole Foods dumpster diving videos up there.
We have the Alec Baldwin picture from earlier.
Oh, man. Yeah, we spoke about Alec Baldwin. We'll get into Alec Baldwin again in the next segment. So stand by. Oh, yeah, there was another Brian Laundrie thing that I wanted to get into. So next segment, just a few other there are questions about the cadaver dogs and
something doesn't add up there.
So hang on, we're going to get into that in the next segment. All right, on though to guys dating apps and dogs. Did you see this?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Men with dogs in their dating app pictures are more likely to be perceived as wanting to settle down. So they might be more appealing or attractive to a woman that's not looking for some playa, you know, some kind of a playboy that's just trying to, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
And that makes sense, because if you see the guy with the dog in the photo, what's a dog? A dog is like your family member. So it shows the guy maybe wants to have a family.
Hold on. You know what I just realized? The bearded lady has 12,000 times more hair than your fiance, Dig Dug.
She really does.
Her hair on top of her head is nicer than Doug's. Her beard below is nicer than Doug's.
All right. So, I'm sorry. Back over to the guy.
Doug has facial hair. He has facial hair, but just not, he not can on, grow a on beard? The dome. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Just checking. All right. So, a new study finds that men who pose in pictures with dogs in their dating apps are more likely to be looking for a long-term relationship and not like a quickie deal. Yeah, because there are just a lot of, speaking of dogs, there are just a lot of guys that are just dogs that are just on these dating apps to just, you know, have their
have a fling.
Have flings and scores. And, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of guys out there who are meeting multiple women on these dating apps. And probably each woman says, are you dating anyone else?
No.
You're the Only one. Yeah, there you go. So you're the only one. Meanwhile, he's got like 12 other women that he's juggling the schedule.
Or sometimes they're honest about it, like, no, I just want to have some fun. I'm just here to have a good time, rack up as many women as possible.
The research, which should be, you know, beneficial for women, this I'm sure this is going to be, you know, pleasing to women who have had a difficult time dating. This was conducted by Professor Marianne Fisher, who is an evolutionary psychologist from St. Mary's University in Canada. I've heard of that. And she's published her findings in the journal Evolutionary Psychological Science. You know what? Let's see if we can grab some phones on this. Is this pleasing? I mean, is this something subliminal? Do we have women? Are there women listening right now that are on the dating apps? Whatever it is. There's a ton of dating apps out there. Are you a woman and you are on dating apps, and have you ever been attracted to a guy with a profile picture where he's posing with his dog? I know I'm asking for a very specific esoteric thing, but also the question is, have you even thought about this? Have you even thought about the fact that a guy with a dog might be more inclined to settle and not be some kind of player just looking for his next score?
All right, different dogs give out different vibes, you know.
What about a parrot on a shoulder?
Or yar. What about a guy with a snake around his head?
800-990-1047. If any women want to weigh in on dating apps and, you know, and let me expand it a little further. Any women want to expand on things that you've noticed in profile pictures? So if you're a woman and you're into the online dating, what have you learned? Is there a pattern with guys and pictures? If you want to weigh in at all, I mean, do you buy into the fact that guys that pose with their dogs are more likely to, you know, not be, you know, what is a good derogatory word for a
looking to play the field?
Yeah, but
a player,
a male slut. All right, there we go.
Guys with dogs are not horn dogs.
There
you go.
Oh, close it up.
Drop the mic.
What about guys who pose with axolotls? What are they like?
Throwback.
800-990-1047. Listen, we'll see if we get some calls on this. I'm just curious. Women that are on online dating apps, what do you notice about guys and their profile pictures? And does this make sense to you? So this analyst, this Marianne Fisher, this professor, the psychologist, she analyzed 750 dating profiles from both men and women, asking the respondents if they were looking for long-term relationships or short-term flings. And for men who were searching for something serious, an average of 8 in 10 had a dating app photo featuring a dog. That is quite startling, actually. That is amazing. In comparison, only 5 out of every 10 men looking for a fling were seen posing with a dog. So instead, those men were far more likely to display their chests, their motorcycles, their boats, the big fish they caught. Wow. Wait. And this professor, the psychology professor, believes that puppy pictures or dog pictures subconsciously signal to single women that the man is trustworthy and responsible. How about that? I mean, this is interesting stuff here.
Yeah, but the guy kissing his golden doodle is different than the guy kissing his French or his big pit bull. Right, yeah. Big aggressive dog.
All right, so Coop's answering calls. Coop, man, you're taking a long time screening these calls.
I was having a good conversation with Chris.
What, are you trying to pick her up?
Well, Chris,
what, did you get her phone number?
I don't know. I think her settings are matched to older men because she has some comments about that.
All right, Chris in Tampa. Chris, you're on the MJ Morning Show. I got about a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, terrifying men who have pictures of their children and babies. Why are they doing that? It's so weird. And the ones who can't afford shirts, that scares me.
All right, you don't like guys that pose with no shirt on, right?
Correct. It's not always a good thing.
Now, Chris, are you actively on dating apps right now?
I am on one, and yeah.
Which one are you on? What do you like?
Zeusk. It's very civilized. You know, you have very few that are, you know, they don't get ratty. They understand they're not on Tinder or whatever those quick hookup sites are, but just the pictures, like the ones that pose in bed. I'm like, are you, you know, disabled? Can you not get out of bed?
I'm on bedridden.com.
Right. And I mean, it's okay, but, you know, let us know. But I'm like, can you not walk? Why are you photographed like that?
Only bed sores.
And have you found pictures of guys with dogs? And did you even draw the correlation that we just discussed?
No, I do like pictures of guys with dogs because, you know, dogs are, you know, their man's best friend. And if, you know, but some of the dogs look terrified. Like,
now, Chris, have you found true love yet or are you still on the search?
You know, I actually have met a couple of very nice people. Look, everybody, it's like a job. Every one you take isn't going to be your dream job. Yep. You just have to weed through the good ones.
Chris, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I am over 50.
And are you divorced?
Yes, I am.
All right, well,
and I have a lot of younger men looking for cougars, and I'm like, does your mother know what you're doing? Go away.
No, I'm doing man. Hey, Chris, I appreciate the call, and thanks for listening to the return of the MJ Morning Show.
Yeah. Thank you.
Get on that.
Chris is actually out there looking for bedridden men.
I think that Coop was one of the guys looking for a cougar.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. You're smart. Yeah,
there you go. All right, you got the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is 9 o'clock exactly. Thanks for listening. MJ Morning Show back on Q105. Max, we all good? All good? Hey, folks, say hi to Max. Max is one of our engineers. Hey, grab Froggy's mic.
Hi, Max.
Hey, Max.
Hey, how's it going?
Man, what is that mask you're wearing?
I try to be festive.
That's a tiger, man. That's like the Tiger King mask.
Yeah,
it is.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the Tiger King, by the way, on Netflix?
I did.
Yeah.
Right, don't say that. We don't need to compare Max to Joe Exotic, please.
Max, did you watch the South Korean series? Have you watched Squid Game yet?
I have watched Squid Game.
What did you think of Squid Game?
It was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We thought it was great.
Any other tips? Any other Netflix recommendations for Max the Engineer?
Not really. I don't have much time to watch TV.
And
he's got a little baby.
And my Comrex NX is all updated?
Yep. Should be updated. Good to go. Should be ready to connect.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
You know what? This could be a new segment, MJ. Netflix suggestions from Max.
From Max the Engineer.
Watch the Squid Games. It's pretty good.
Thank you, Max. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
See you, Max.
You got the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. All right, a lot of ground to cover. First of all, couple of Tom Brady things. Did you see, and the couple of things that are interesting here regarding Tom Brady, and who are they playing this weekend? They're playing
the Bears.
Yeah. So they're playing the Bears, and I should have known that because I saw a piece last night that we will now, this Sunday, we will have the largest age difference ever in NFL history. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the NFL of the MJ Morning Show. Brought to you by Gillette, the best a man can get. And by Ford, built Ford tough. But we don't have any inventory right now because of the chip shortage. All right, so when I say that Tom Brady and the Bears quarterback are going to make history, you understand where this is going, right?
Well, yeah, the quarterback for the Bears is a rookie named Justin Fields.
He's 12.
I cannot believe he's 12, so young.
12 years old. He's a prodigy.
He's amazing.
Now, all kidding aside, in Sunday's football game, it's going to be the Buccaneers and the Bears. Tom Brady is 44 years old. Justin Fields, the quarterback for the Bears, is 22. Do you realize that Brady has him literally lapped?
Yeah, he could easily be his son.
He is lapped. So Tom Brady is twice the age of the 22-year-old quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
Has anybody thought of the fact that Tom Brady, and you might think this is crazy, but he might be a vampire. I think he might be a real life vampire.
I think you're onto something because he's just putting it in our face right now. Just like, I'll play until I'm 55 if I want to.
It's ridiculous. It's like, I was watching Interview with a Vampire the other night and I'm like,
is that Tom Brady?
This is Tom Brady's life, right? He's probably been alive for 5,000 years.
All right, so MJ, this Sunday's game between the Bucs and the Bears, biggest age difference between two quarterbacks, is breaking the record of the previous biggest difference. You knew who that was?
I don't. So what was the previous, maybe John Elway?
No, dumbass. 3 weeks ago when Tom Brady played Mac Jones for the Patriots. Oh. And before that, biggest difference was Tom Brady playing Justin Herbert from the Chargers last year.
You call me a dumbass?
Maybe. Sorry. All right. That's a bit much. I'm a little punchy right now.
But this is an NFL. So you're telling me that last week was the previous record?
Well, when they played the Patriots 2 weeks ago, that was the biggest age difference between starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
That's all Brady does is set records every week.
Every week now it's going to break a record. All right. So this Sunday, Tom Brady, 44, is going to play against a quarterback who's 22.
Tom Brady's going to start taking on JV football teams to really crush that record.
You're telling me that Tom Brady just... This week it'll break the record that he just set last weekend, three weeks ago.
During their bye week, they're going to take on the Northeast Vikings.
And of course, it was a record in the Super Bowl when he, right? As far as the youngest, or the biggest age difference in a Super Bowl, he did that too.
When he played against Goff and the Rams? Yeah.
I don't know how old Goff.
He's a younger guy.
All right, so the other Tom Brady story is that was it a Target store? Was he in Target or something? Or where was he? Tom Brady, he gets recognized, even with like a full mask on, he's still recognized everywhere.
I'll tell you where he wasn't. Subway.
I don't think has he ever set foot into a Subway?
One time, his junior year in Ann Arbor at University of Michigan, he had a meatball sub once.
He said, I went to the grocery store, I went to Target, and my kids and I were there. He goes, but people just kept recognizing them, even though he had the mask on.
So
he still got identified.
The whole family's masked up, and Tom Brady, I'm sure he had probably a good-sized mask, thinking, hey, I'm a celebrity. I can go into Target, or I can go into, what do you say, Publix? Where was he?
Target.
And then where else?
He went to
Dollar Tree.
Lunch spot.
And, well, in the lunch spot, you got to take your mask off, obviously.
He went to the Salvation Army on McDill.
But even in Target with his mask on, people still recognize him. They're all coming up to him.
They're probably the most fancy-looking family in Target. I mean, come on.
But don't you think you guys have gotten really good at recognizing people with masks on? Like, our brains just, I can figure out who it is right away just looking at the eyes.
If you know them, yes. But if you don't know them, and I guess maybe a lot of people know what Tom Brady looks like. Maybe that's it. But... yeah, friends or relatives, of course you're going to recognize them with masks on. Unless it's somebody that maybe they're like an acquaintance. So I know this has happened where I've been out and about and someone will say, hey, Todd. or hey, MJ. And in some cases, just a listener that I told the story. I was in Publix. Remember, I was at this was earlier this year. I'm in the produce section at the new Publix on West Kennedy, right across from West Shore Mall. You know, the old sports was that old Sports Authority spot.
Yeah.
Where the new I was in Publix and I had my mask on, and guy said MJ. I'm like, oh, how do you recognize? So yeah, people have recognized me with my mask on.
It's got to be the hair.
It's got to be the hair.
We didn't mean that in a good way.
It's got to be the hair. God, you made me forget what I was. Forget what I was going to.
Sorry, I made you forget.
I was going to. You made me forgot something. Okay.
Well, you know what? Do you feel like when you see people with masks off now, you forgot what they looked like?
Oh, it's horrifying.
Have you had that happen? I'll see someone. I'll be like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot what you looked like. Without, yeah.
Who are you? And it's like, it's your cousin.
Mom, you've gotten so old in this last year and a half. Right.
One other dating item. You know, we spoke about the dating and the women and the guys and the dogs and their profile pictures. I saw this early in the week and I didn't get around to it, but I don't want to leave it on the table since we're going to break for the weekend here soon. Tinder has released a new plus one feature for finding a wedding date. Did you see this?
Oh, that's
so
funny.
So if you need a date for a wedding, but maybe you're not looking for a relationship, or maybe you don't want to, you know, have a one-nighter, you just need a wedding date, maybe some guys are going to, like, try to horn dog in on that, thinking that that could be the way into, you know, a score. Oh, look at Coop just poked his head up. Huh? What? Wait a minute. Did you say Tinder? New plus one feature for wedding dates?
Can you use it if you don't have a wedding to go to?
All right. So here's the deal. Tinder has you covered. If you're single, you need a plus one to go to a wedding or some other social event. Tinder has a new feature. New feature recently debuted on the dating app called Plus One. Allows users to let others know that they're either looking for a date to take to some kind of party or a wedding, or literally they need a date for a wedding.
You know, MJ, we're entering holiday party season, and I think this year is going to be obviously a lot more holiday parties than there were last year, even in a scaled back version. If you are out there and you need a date to your company holiday party, Coop is available.
Yeah, right. You know what? That might be a good bit.
You give me a couple drink tickets, I'm in.
Oh, yeah. Man. You know, I like that idea. Write that down. Coop holiday party rental date.
We got to start planting the seeds now. Yeah. Holiday party's going to kick off in another month and a half.
Coop, our 23-year-old Generation Z producer, is not like a hideous dude.
And thanks.
You called him a good-looking guy a few minutes ago.
But he's having trouble meeting female companionship. He even tried male companionship. That wasn't working either.
Do you have?
No, I'm kidding.
It worked better. Yeah. But
do you
not
have
completely.
No game, Coop, when it comes to talking to girls? What's the deal with you?
Listen, has no time.
I have no time.
Oh, I hate people who say they don't have time. Give me a break.
I like this. I like the idea of holiday parting or wedding date Coop. If you need a date, we'll send Coop along and he can document the thing and then we'll talk about it on the show. I love it.
Coop, the plus one.
Coop, do you have a suit?
No. Oh. I need to borrow one.
Guess what? It'll be the new MJ Morning Show plus one bit.
Mm.
Love it.
You don't have a suit?
Unfortunately, ladies, you have to go with Coop.
Well, we'll get a sponsor, and it can be a tuxedo or
Men's Warehouse.
Oh, yeah, give me an endorsement, too.
Hey, or the JCPenney still open at West Shore, right?
Yeah, we love it.
Send you the men's department at JCPenney.
How about Brooks Brothers?
No, it's a little too expensive. So we'll stick with JCPenney. All right.
The Burlington Coat Factory has a nice suit rack.
All right, Fester, add this to the list of like 100 bits that I want to do.
But I just got to tell you, know who thinks that's a terrible idea, that Tinder plus one to a wedding? Father of the bride. Who wants to pay for somebody that's just merely a Tinder date of someone's, a one-time Tinder?
That's an interesting point. All right, on to the Brian Laundrie situation. And, we have a Brian Laundrie theme song, which, again, folks, I don't feel bad about playing this because Brian Laundrie most likely responsible for the death of Gabby Petito. And, of course, the news broke yesterday. It was 5:39 p.m. that the Denver office of the FBI, the Denver field office, was handling this case because Gabby Petito was found in Wyoming, and the Denver field office for the FBI has jurisdiction over the state of Wyoming, which has a population of 16 people. So And Wyoming's gorgeous. I love Wyoming. But, you know, of course, they were up at the Grand Tetons in Wyoming, so that's why Denver had the lead on the case. And at 5:39 p.m. yesterday, the Denver field office of the FBI, they tweeted out this. Update. On October 21st, 2021, a comparison of dental records confirmed that the human remains found at the T. Mabry Carlton Jr. Memorial Reserve and Myakahatchee Creek Environmental Park are those of Brian Laundry. And while walking the dogs last night, well, I had already thought of this, and I refrained during the whole, well, geez, this has been going on for what, a month and a half? It's been going on for a long time. And I refrain from, like, pulling the clip from Don Henley's Dirty Laundry. Like, whenever we talk about Brian Laundry, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to play Dirty Laundry. But now that the remains have been found, and there are some interesting questions. So the big question in a moment. But first, ladies and gentlemen.
I heard the story on the evening news. They found remains and a couple of clues. Sounds like someone's paid their dues. It was Brian Laundry. Pick a bone up, dig it to the ground. Scoop them in a bag, shake them all around. In the Myakahatchee campground, it was Brian Laundry.
So I don't feel bad about playing that. And also, I did the skeleton Instagram photo with my dogs last night. As I was walking the dogs, we're in the neighborhood, and someone's got the skeletal little Halloween decoration in their yard, and the bones are, like, in the grass. And Scout and Gatsby, I kind of led them over there, and they were curious. So they start sniffing. I take a picture. I'm like, look, look what Scout and Gatsby found. They found Brian Laundry actually up here in South Tampa.
The dog's name is Gatsby, not Goutsby.
Yeah. So dog has gout. If you want to see my Jack Russell Terriers and the skeleton they found in South Tampa last night while they were out on their walk, go to my Instagram at Certified Todd Schnitt. Also, give me a follow. I'm guaranteed to shoot some kind of Instagram Live over the weekend. Who knows?
Well, which dog is which, by the way? Because you have one shaggy Russell.
So the shaggy Jack Russell, the broken coat, that is Gatsby. Okay. And the totally smooth coat Jack Russell, that's our female Scout.
So a shaggy dog is called a broken coat?
Yeah, broken coat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have a broken coat. I need a new button for it.
Thank you. All right, so check out my Instagram. You never know what's going to be up. People seem to like my. There's a lot of variety. Would you say there's a lot of variety in my Instagram?
Yes, I love the food stuff.
Not as much as on my YouTube page channel, Froggy Tampa. One word.
One word.
Subscribe. Froggy Tampa. Subscribe, and then give me a follow on my Instagram. I'm Certified Todd Schnitt. That's Certified TODDSCHN as in November. ITT, so Certified Todd Schnitt, that's my real name. MJ equals Todd Schnitt. All right, I think most people know that. All right, back over quickly. Are we going to say something?
No,
all right, back over to just wrapping up with Brian Laundry, because we have a lot of other things to do. One of the things that is very suspicious is that there are, like, experts that are questioning how the cadaver dogs weren't able to even hit on these remains, even if they were under 2 or 3 feet of water before the water receded.
Yeah, good question. I mean, that's all cadaver dogs are responsible for doing is finding dead bodies.
Smell through water?
Hold on.
There was an interview that I saw. There was a News Nation interview, and it was a canine handler, and this guy is a former cop. And he said it was highly suspicious that the cadaver dogs would have missed the Laundry skeletal remains in the reserve, even if they were underwater, that these cadaver dogs are so sensitive that they should have hit. And they're saying it's kind of a mystery.
Okay. A bunch of lazy dogs.
First
man.
Of all, talking heads say everything these days. And the police efforts, and we've been following this case pretty closely, MJ, none of us has heard about the Myakahatchee Creek Environmental Park until 2 days ago.
So how the hell do the parents say, hey, Northport Police, hey, FBI, we're going to go search in the Myakahatchee deal.
Out of nowhere.
And then And then 30 minutes later, oh, look, we found stuff belonging to Brian. How does that happen?
And isn't the Mahakakachi right near their house, too?
Did you just same area. Cough? She sneezed, right? The FBI has been focusing their efforts at the Carlton Park, which is next door, but and the dogs were nowhere near the body.
But isn't the Carlton Reserve, isn't that where the parents initially told them to look?
That's where they were initially, that's where the FBI was initially. It could have been anywhere. The parents may not have known until, well, maybe they did. Who knows? But if you look in this picture, MJ, there's the Big Slaw Preserve. There's the Myakkahatchee. There's the Carlton Preserve. There's Warm Mineral Spring Park. There's Cool Park. There's a bunch of parks and preserves in this Myakka River State Park area.
Wow. Hey, so Michelle, man, my wife is so frustrated. She's like booking the tickets for the kids to come home for Thanksgiving. So Chloe's up in New Hampshire. Julian's in Connecticut in boarding school. Chloe's in college. Guess how much? Just take a guess. Guess how much like coach seats are. We're talking steerage. We're talking the cheap seats on the plane. Guess how much it is for like the kids to fly home.
I mean, Thanksgiving weekend? Were they leaving like on Tuesday and going back on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. Let me get Michelle on the phone because she's got the deed. This is unbelievable. So, folks, if you haven't booked Thanksgiving travel, you could be screwed.
Good luck.
Hang on. You got to hear some of the numbers. I mean, it's just insane. By the way, I got Hollywood Dirt coming up. I got a lot of loose ends in the final long segment coming up in a minute.
Hello.
Hey, Michelle, I'm just talking about booking Thanksgiving travel, and I got a couple of Thanksgiving, like, for instance, there was a report that for Thanksgiving travel, get ready for chaos due to unvaxxed TSA workers, that could be a slowdown.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you were trying to book tickets to get Chloe and Julian home. Now, what days were you flying them home?
The worst days.
Yeah, I know, because that's when their school's right. Out. Yeah,
not for Julian so much, but for Chloe for sure.
All right, and Coach, we're talking about the cheap seat on the airplane, probably some damn middle seat in coach, not business class, not first class, not extra comfort coach, regular coach. What kind of fares were you seeing to get Chloe home from New Hampshire?
Well, no, it was going from here to New Hampshire on Sunday.
That's right. So it's coming from Tampa back up to like Boston or something, right?
Look, they're both bad, but the one going on Sunday, it was as much as $1,000, but I did not buy that ticket.
$1,000 for a freaking coach ticket for Thanksgiving.
Gosh, that's crazy.
$1,000.
She's not leaving at a time that's more desirable. She's leaving at a time that's less desirable because I was not paying $1,000.
Yeah, so
you'd be better off flying her to Montreal and smuggling her back across the border.
I think you're right. So Chloe's now leaving at 4:37 a.m.
Yeah, for real.
on Thanksgiving morning. She's not going to even be with us for Thanksgiving. She's heading back on Thanksgiving. I mean, that is a wreck.
It was unbelievable. It's the highest I've ever seen a flight just for, you know, flying up the East Coast.
All right, so heads up, folks. The airline, clearly they're trying to, you know, score. They really need to jack up a coach fare to $1,000.
That's holiday ticket gouging. Yeah. Gouging.
All right, give me a break. Anything you want to say now? Speak now forever. Hold your peace until Monday's show.
I love you.
Oh.
Ew.
All right, see you in a little bit.
Well, I almost believed it that time.
Bye.
Too.
Yeah, somewhat convincing, wasn't it?
Yeah, really.
All right,
getting good.
Final long segment. I got a lot of loose ends. We're going to do a super duper lightning round with a little bit of everything. Hollywood, I got some idiot stuff. We got just a lot of stuff next.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is 9:32. All right, I got to get the laundry song in one more time because I just got the invoice for Magic Mark. for the song. And
he invoiced you? What? That was quick.
Yes, I've already been invoiced.
Good
listen,
for him.
Listen, my parody guy, this was a rush job. I mean, I came up with this at like 6:30, and it was delivered to my email box late last night. I mean, this was quick turnaround on the Brian Laundry song, which, again, folks, we took calls on this earlier, and I asked our listeners. I'm like, hey, is this out of line? And overwhelmingly, they said no. Listen, bottom line is Brian Laundry is responsible for Gabby Petito's death. I don't think there's any doubt about it. The coroner said that she was strangled. Poor girl. So I got to play this because I just got the invoice for our special Brian Laundry song, so I just want to get the most airplay that we possibly can.
Take off a little bit of the invoice for that one messed up lyric.
What, the Myakka Hatchie? I mean, that's tough to sing. That's kind of like in Toto's Africa where they try to...
Serengeti.
You know, it's kind of like trying to ram that in there. I think that Myakka Hatchie is even better than Toto's Africa with Serengeti. That's one of the worst lyric squeezes of all time. Serengeti. But I'll tell you what, the singer on that is pretty close to Don Henley. It's a pretty good job on that, actually.
Was that Mark?
No, Mark's... No, that's one of his stable of singers.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
That's Magic Mark, our parody guy. Let's do the Busch Gardens tickets. Then we got a lot of stuff to cover in the final segment here. Busch Gardens, as you know, they do a wonderful job with Howl O' Scream. It's Halloween. It's got to be Howl O' Scream at Busch Gardens. Let's go with caller number 25 right now. Caller 25, you get a pair of tickets for Howl O' Scream. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Do you think that the Chloe conversation about this particular story, I just texted her to see if she was available. Fester wants to have a conversation with Chloe live on the air. And there's a story that popped up. And Fester thinks it's important that we actually have this discussion with Chloe.
I think it's important for all
and
young women.
She's in class. So she said, I can step out of class if you need me to. And I said, you know what? No, stay in class. We can deal with this on Monday's show. But I think we can mention the story, but we'll get her on the phone on Monday.
I just hope she has a safe weekend.
A college lacrosse player choked and died on a hot dog during a hot dog eating contest?
Ugh, so sad.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I mean, what a beautiful young, from Tufts University, which is, well, not far from Chloe. Tufts is up in the Boston area.
I feel like I've heard this story happen before. Like, there's been multiple young women who've died because of hot dog eating contests.
Really?
I feel like I've heard this before in the last year or so.
I've heard a man dying from it.
College age, maybe, but hot dog eating contests, leave it to the professionals, the Joey Chestnuts of the world. Not some fly-by-night college sorority gag fundraiser.
Yeah, don't just go try it on your own. Those people who do it, they really are trained athletes.
Froggy, do you serve your kids hot dogs?
Yeah, but I cut them down the middle and then I cut them across so they're in like quarters. I'm paranoid about that.
See,
I'm paranoid about
it. It's like getting a finger or something perfectly down your throat.
But when you have small kids, there's like the list of things that you're not supposed to give them hot dogs. You're not supposed to give them popcorn until like after the age of, is it 2?
I think 2.
Yeah, I mean, there are things you're not supposed to give your kids, but, I mean, it's just a terrible story. I mean, what a beautiful young woman, 20 years old, and she was in a hot dog eating contest, and she choked. Why didn't someone give her the freaking Heimlich maneuver? Why couldn't somebody, you know, what happened?
It's like they say when you take that class before you have a kid, they tell you what the worst foods to give, and apparently the hot dog is like the exact shape of your esophagus. and it'll choke you immediately.
Have you ever felt like you were choking on something? Because I cut into a piece of steak one time, and like the gristle pulled down one piece of it I swallowed, and then the gristle was like a string, and it lodged the other part in my throat, and I thought I was going to die. But I obviously I'm still here.
Obviously.
Were you able to make noise?
Yeah, but it was scary.
Yeah, but you know what the rule of thumb is?
What is it?
Is that if somebody is able to say, I'm choking, they're not really choking.
Oh, then maybe I wasn't.
Yeah, so if you're choking when there is not one, you can't make a sound. Mm. When you can't say a word, that's when things are serious. And that's when you got to get behind somebody and you got to get right underneath that xiphoid thingy, the little thing, and you got to go boom and, you know, do the Heimlich.
I only choke at restaurants on purpose to get the meal for free and to get sympathy. Sort of like the movie.
And because you know somebody there is going to know a good Heimlich.
Yeah.
My God. Anyway, we'll call Chloe on Monday morning to make sure she doesn't fall for some, you know, college, you know, contest deal.
I mean, this young lady was a lacrosse player.
Yeah, she was on
was a soccer player.
She was on the lacrosse team at Tufts. Her name was Maddie Nicpon, N-I-C-P-O-N. And, man, this is a terrible story. I feel so bad for her family and her. 20 years old. Why couldn't someone do the damn...
Well, they might have tried.
Tragic.
It's not like it works 100% of the time.
The other story, which really caught everyone by surprise, is this whole Alec Baldwin situation. I'm looking at the latest from the New York Post here. We talked about this in a good chunk of a segment earlier this morning about Alec Baldwin on the set of his new movie... Wasn't it Rust?
Rust. Yes. He's the lead character. He's Rust. He's an outlaw whose 13-year-old, I think, grandson was accused of manslaughter out in the Wild West.
Rust. A distraught Alec Baldwin repeatedly asked why he was given a hot gun after his prop weapon accidentally discharged on the New Mexico film set yesterday, killing the director of photography and injuring the actual director of the movie. Unfolded while Baldwin was filming his upcoming Western, Rust, at Bonanza Creek Ranch in Santa Fe. Cinematographer Halina Hutchins, H-A-L-Y-N-A, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly, but she passed away. Mm. And then the director, Joel Sousa, 48, he was injured. I think he was struck in the collarbone.
That's crazy, man. I think he's been released from the hospital, but... The director of photography, beautiful woman.
Yeah, immediately after the incident, an eyewitness told Hollywood gossip site Showbiz 411 that Baldwin started asking how could he have been given a hot gun, meaning the firearm loaded with real ammunition? What the? In all my years, I've never been handed a hot gun.
Why is he talking like he's in the mob? God, this would like scar me. I would be very distraught, and I would probably go into a depression if I murdered a woman.
I mean, first his wife faking the whole Spanish heritage thing, an accent, and now this.
It would be okay, Alec.
Stop talking like that, damn it.
Jeez.
It was just a gun.
I've had a very difficult day. Stop faking your accents.
Okay, I'm sorry, I won't.
There are images of him, like, crying and bent over, and he's, I mean, I can imagine that Alec.
Of course.
I mean, it's like he got punched in the stomach. Can you imagine what he's going through?
He obviously worked with that woman.
Now, he's not known to be the most pleasant guy, but I wouldn't wish this on anybody, even though Alec, you know, he blocked me on Twitter also. Did I mention that part of the story?
Which is probably his most egregious error in his life.
Yeah, so, folks, if you go to MJMorningShow.com, if you go to MJMorningShow.com, we posted the image that I took. I was walking, this is in 2016, up in New York. I was walking on 5th Avenue and 10th Street, 5th Avenue and 10th Street, in Alec Baldwin's apartment with his brood of kids. They're right there in that vicinity. Their building where they live is right there in the neighborhood. And I saw Alec Baldwin walking toward me. They had a bodyguard. And then Hilaria was pregnant and pushing a stroller. And I'm like, hey, it's Alec Baldwin. Let me take out my camera. I'll take a picture and I'll post it on my social media and say, hey, look, I just saw Alec Baldwin. And they put up their hands to try to block me. And then Alec's yelling at me, ask permission to take a photo. He's yelling at me. And I took the photo. That's the first rule is always get the shot. So I get the picture. And then later on, I sent Alec a tweet. Hey, Alec, I'm the guy that took the picture. And I'm a blue check. I'm a verified Twitter guy. I'm at Todd Schnitt on Twitter. My Instagram is certified Todd Schnitt, but on Twitter, I'm just at Todd Schnitt, my real name. And I sent him a note on Insta. And I said, hey, Alec, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to tick you off. And he blocked me.
Was you doing mornings in New York, too?
Yeah, I was doing mornings on WOR in New York.
Blocked you?
Yeah, and he blocked me.
Well, the janitor here has a blue mark check mark, so it's not like that really
yeah,
matters.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean anything. It's just, All right, a couple of quickies, then we're out of here for the weekend, folks. You know that plane that crashed? The Houston to Boston plane, you know, the Astros fan on that old commercial airliner, the old McDonnell Douglas MD-87. So 18 passengers, 3 crew members miraculously walked away. The most spectacular story of the week. The plane was a total wreck, burst into flame, melted. The plane was a 34-year-old airliner, right?
Okay.
And we now have found out that the plane had not flown in 10 months.
Ooh.
First of all, why did this developer why do you think it was a good idea to buy a 35-year-old commercial airliner?
I mean, the price was unbeatable.
Yeah.
I mean, he essentially bought it from like a rummage sale.
Yeah. Oh, and finally, Grandma and the Pumpkin. And Coop, you're looking forward to this story, right?
Yeah, when you teased it, I was like, what is going on?
I'm going to leave you with this. A man threw a pumpkin at a woman's head after she parked in front of his family's home on Wednesday afternoon in the Bloomfield neighborhood of Pittsburgh. So the grandmother's on the mend. She parks in front of the house. An argument ensues about, hey, don't park in front of our house. James Gazis, 40, picked up a pumpkin off their porch and threw it at the grandma's head. My God. She was going to a nearby home, and he didn't want her parking in front of his home. So he threw a pumpkin at granny's head. Anyway, he was charged.
Was this a carved pumpkin or just a normal pumpkin?
You know what? I don't have that exact information.
Because there's a difference in mass, because you scoop out the inside.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. 100% right. All right, folks, have a great weekend. We'll see you back here tomorrow, Monday, rather. Wow. All right, we'll see you Monday. Website's loaded, mjmorningshow.com. That's mjmorningshow.com. It's the MJ Morning Show, Q105. Have a great weekend, folks. And, hey, let's be careful out there.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.